ImpactRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on the Rock of God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you The Rack, bringing you unique perspectives about the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha, ya no puede caminar, porque no tiene, porque le falta una patita para caminar.
And TNA.
Konnichiwa! Watashi wa Kareman desu. King of Spice desu. Kobashi Kenta. Kitaka Aikuto. Onegai shimashita.
What? Ojigana Mata. How the hell do I know what he just said? What am I, a damn international translator?
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my god, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my god, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
Let me explain how this thing works. First, you become famous, and then I'll kick your ass. But until then, let's keep it strictly professional.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com and, of course, TweetAudio.com. If you're looking for some good quality headsets, head on over to their website, click the little banner up at the top of the page, and put in the code WILDTALK, and we'll save you about 33%. I am, as always, your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me this evening is my highly frustrated and, I think, a little angry producer, Sorokin.
Just a little bit.
If you're wondering why he's just a touch upset, well, Philadelphia is presently losing to Cincinnati 13-34. But there's still hope alive because there's 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Maybe they could score a touchdown.
12 minutes left of this torture? Oh, good lord. What are we in for tonight?
And Foles gets sacked. Yeah, moving on.
You're like so, 5 seconds ahead of me for some reason, but yeah. Oh Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't.
Well, we have a couple topics tonight that are going to make you kind of scratch your head and wonder. But one of those topics being the question of the night, because yeah, well, we just couldn't come up with anything else, and it seemed as good as any. So, Rock, what's the question of the night?
Our question of the night tonight is, What should Lindsay Ward, the host of the show, do on her month-long winter break?
Yes, I am presently out of school. Classes are done. Finals are over. Yay!
Woo!
And now I have a month to sit here and do nothing.
Yay. Good times.
Yeah, good times. Awesome! But we have quite a bit to talk about tonight, don't we?
We have a lot of news. We have a lot of shows to get through. Yeah, it's going to be a long, long show full of content and excitement.
And, of course, we get to talk about tonight's Impact.
We do. Which was fun. It was a fun show.
It was a fun show. Joseph Park Training. Yeah, we're going to get into that. Anyway, but first, before we go there, what's in the news?
The news, you say?
The news.
It sounds like somebody got hurt.
Well, it can't be Taker because he's not around.
No, it's not Taker. I believe it's a Legend Killer.
Oh, the snake hurt himself again?
Apparently, Randy Orton got hurt at Tribute to Troops taping this past Sunday and is hurt at this point. What the injury is, I have not heard. Have you?
I haven't seen what it is yet. I mean, obviously, it's severe enough that they did an injury angle on
SmackDown.
Mm-hmm. Where, spoiler alert, where they took him out of the loop, so to speak, for the time being. So it's obviously severe enough that he's going to take time off again.
Right. Just makes you wonder, it might be his shoulder. I think it's his shoulder, one would guess, because that's where he's always had the most problems.
Yeah, I think that's what I read. It might be the shoulder, but no confirmation has come from WWE or Orton at this time, so I guess in the next couple weeks we'll find out. I mean, obviously he's not a huge priority because, well, he's not like CM Punk who needed emergency surgery, for God's sakes.
Yeah, he's not on that level at this point, and that's scary to think. Randy Orton's not the top star.
But I'm okay if CM Punk's the top star. Really.
Oh, I'm okay. It's just like, how Randy Orton has fallen down the ladder at that point.
Yeah.
It's always good to have more than one star, but, you know, when your star fades, that's not good.
And speaking of your star fading, thank you for that transition.
You're welcome.
Star Ryder is returning.
Really?
Really.
Who?
Brian Gewirtz!
No way!
That's right. With The Rock's return, that means he's going to bring his writer with him, and they're going to pull good old Brian out of mothballs so he can write Rocky's promos for him.
Well, if anyone can write a good Rocky promo, it's Brian Gewirtz.
Yep. So, yay! Yay, he's coming back. Let's see if he's welcome back.
I think he'll be fine, because he'll be just working with The Rock in his segments, and he'll shine. It'll be fine. You're gonna get classic Rock the way you usually get him, and it's better that way. It's good to always have. If you have your biggest star coming back, he should get the people he's most comfortable with, because as clearly we can see every Monday night, well, the current crop probably couldn't get the job done.
Nope. And by the way, that is one really empty stadium. Just saying. Bravo to the people sticking it out.
It's called those people still staying or going, yeah, let's wait out the traffic now. Because it's going to be a long line right now, right about now.
Yep, pretty much.
I want to get back on 995. It's going to take you about a half hour at this point. So I would stay in my seats for another half hour.
Pretty much. But, yeah. I have no transition other than, well, there's somebody else on their way back, too.
Oh, no. Who?
Yes, that's right, folks. He's convalescing from his injury, and there's the potential he's going to be back on our TVs. Mr. Personality himself, Johnny Ace.
I thought you were going to say Alan Moja got a job with WWE.
That would never happen.
Okay. Yeah, he's Mr. TNA. But anyway,
he doesn't like Vince anyway.
True. Why is John Laurinaitis coming back on our TVs? Why? Why?
Honestly?
Why?
And I'm going to probably hate myself for this, because it's going to be very painful to say. In comparison to Vicky, I would rather have John Laurinaitis.
Excuse me?
I, at least with John Laurinaitis, he's somewhat good at his job on TV. Vicky? Oh my God, Vicky. Like, I swear to God, every time they give her a general manager's position, she seems to get more inept every time.
This is a good point by you. I can't disagree.
Not that I'm bashing Vicky Guerrero, I think she's fine, but yeah, I don't like her in the role they've got her right now, especially if you've got Vince there and she's playing a puppet to Vince. Just put Vince in charge, but yeah, there are rumors, because John Laurinaitis returned to the shows, I think, last week, and he's working backstage right now and helping with creative, God help us all.
He's helping with the finishes of matches. He's not actually creative, you know, have the wrestlers put their moves together. He's not actually writing anything.
Yet. Watch it happen. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. We'll see. I'm not sure about that. But, you know, we'll see.
But, yes, then when he's fully recovered and better, then there is the potential that John Laurinaitis could come back in some kind of role. But we'll obviously have to wait and see.
You know, speaking of returns, we have a return. Former Attitude Era star is returning to the company.
Really? Whom?
The one, the only, Billy Gunn has signed a deal to be a trainer down at NXT in Florida.
Ooh, that'll be good.
Yeah, he's going to be one of the trainers down there to help develop the stars of the future. I think that's a good move for the company, bringing him into the fold in some capacity.
It can't help. Or, I'm sorry, it can't hurt. It definitely can. I mean, the more experienced trainers they have down there helping these guys and girls, the better. And I'm not saying that the folks down there don't know what they're doing, but the better caliber of trainer you have, obviously the better wrestler that's going to produce.
Correct. And Billy Gunn is, you know, despite his gimmicks at times, is one of the better wrestlers out there.
He knows how to
tell a story in the ring. He's really good. That's why WWE was always high on him and why he stuck around for all those years. So it's a good signing for the company.
It's a great signing. So yay, the badass is back. Is that like a throwback?
Sort of like a throwback, and it's a Thursday, so...
It's a Thursday, but you know what? It wasn't, sadly, Throwback Thursday.
No, tonight was not Throwback Thursday, but last week was.
Last week was, and... kind of awesome, and we had to share it. I'm going to put the link in the chat room. Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian have put their Zubaz pants and cut-off shirts up on eBay for auction. No, you don't get the fanny packs. They're still using them. But you get everything else, except them, which kind of fills my heart a little bit because I wouldn't mind bidding on Christopher Daniels. But anyway.
How much would you bid on Christopher Daniels?
Right now, $5, because that's all I got.
Sold. You get him for 1 minute.
I get him for 1 minute. I'm totally okay with that. I may have to go suck up to Mark, actually, and see if he can give him to me for more than 1 minute, but,
All right, 90 seconds.
90 seconds? Okay. But, yes, so I'm trying to paste the link in the chat room. It's not letting me right now. But, anyway, so you can go bid on their ring-worn gear. Present starting bid is $200. Unfortunately, nobody's bid yet. But you can also buy them outright for $250. And you presently have 3 days and 14 hours as of this broadcast to... Oh, you put it in there.
Yeah.
Oops.
You said you were out
to
of trouble.
To go ahead and bid.
So, yeah, you have a couple days left to bid on it. It's apparently... I don't know if it's not for a cause, but, you know, you want some ring-worn gear, like a lot of people do. Go out and buy it, because they're good guys, so...
It's going to the charity of Bad Influence so we can get more awesome segments like tonight.
Tonight's segments were pretty good.
Because apparently the Apple Teeny is lucky to the Eagles.
It was.
As is Christopher Daniels shaking his ass.
Again, it was. Do we see the score now?
They're getting ready to score another touchdown. Just don't watch.
I haven't been. I've been listening, kind of.
Just don't turn around, dude. You're just going to get angrier.
I'm going to take your word for it. I'm going to take your word for it. I'm going to. So, speaking of things you can buy.
Oh?
Yeah. Apparently now available on shoptna.com is a brand new CD. If they even call it a CD, maybe an album of some sort, from one Jeff Hardy.
Oh my god, seriously?
Oh yes. TNA champion Jeff Hardy has released his debut album, Similar Creatures, through TNA Knockout Music. Hardy and TNA's Dale Oliver wrote all the songs, and the album was recorded in the OTM studios in Brentwood, Tennessee. The album is available on shoptna.com and iTunes, among other outlets.
Is this like Jillian Hall's album, or it's a joke, or is it like legit?
Here, let's take a listen to a sample of...
No, no, yes. No,
it's
no.
After my genesis, until my revelation, all the while in between, you were my inspiration. Just thought I'd want you to know you were my light at the end, the hope that led me to own myself in his shrine again. Just thought I'd want you to see you were my reason to go and make the best of it.
That's a song called In Shine by Jeff Hardy.
Thank God for auto-tune.
Other reptilian, similar creatures, soul tied in a knot, are some of the selections you can purchase available at shoptna.com.
You know what that song reminds me of? The stuff, like the indie stuff you listen to when you're in college while you're getting high. That's exactly what that reminds me of.
Well, it is Jeff Hardy.
I know. That boy just ain't right.
And you know who won't be right after next in a couple weeks?
Who?
Paul Heyman.
Oh no! What are they doing to Paul?
Well, Mr. 380 plus day world champion, WWE champion CM Punk is no longer wrestling on the house show in Madison Square Garden. Instead, in his place, Paul Heyman is stepping into the ring for the first time in 20 plus years in the business in Madison Square Garden. And he will be going one-on-one with the Ryback.
Oh, my God. No.
Oh, yes.
It's Save Paul Heyman.
Trending worldwide.
Hashtag save Paul Heyman from the Ryback.
Seriously, it's happening. Paul Heyman versus the Ryback at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, that's just... Oh, that's wrong. That's so wrong.
Paul Heyman's a company guy and will do anything for the company, apparently, and, well... He's going to lose a lot of weight trying to run away from the Ryback. That's all I got to say.
Well, at least he'll get his workout in.
Yep, we might see more in shape Paul Heyman, because I don't know if it was just this one event. He might be wrestling in more than this event against the Ryback.
I have a feeling this is a test. Like, because they kind of teased it where CM Punk lied. Heyman was going to have to face Ryback in a steel cage, and nothing ever came from it. So I have a feeling they're testing this concept to see. And, like, that's going to be one of the things that ends up happening to Paul Heyman, as he ends up having to get in the ring with Ryback.
How scary is that?
pretty darn scary.
Hey, Vince, can you add another zero to my paycheck, please? I'm going in there with Ryback. Please. Please, Uncle Vince. Please. I need some more money for my hospital bills.
Yeah, he's not going to do that. He and Stephanie and Hunter are going to sit in the back and just laugh.
Yep. And he's doing it. And he's doing it in his hometown, too, so, you know. That's going to go over so well. I'm sorry, Paul. I guess all I can say is Happy Hanukkah.
Enjoy your gelt.
I'm out of gelt now.
You're out of gelt? Oh, bummer.
I know, I need more gelt.
Should we ask Tim Stein for more gelt?
That cheap bastard, he probably sold his gelt.
Happy Hanukkah, Tim!
Yeah. Happy Hanukkah, Tim.
And happy Hanukkah to all the other folks out there that celebrate it.
Yes. But that's all the news I got. You got any other news?
There's some weird-looking kid on the TV right now. I have no idea whose it is. Looks like it has no eyeballs.
One of the crew members of the game.
Ah, okay. Well, nope, I'm out of news then, so let's move on to the more, well, I guess fun, interesting segment of the show, TNA Impact. But before we do that, let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
All right, so We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk all about TNA Impact. And, of course, I'm going to give my review of Final Resolution because I didn't get to do it Sunday on WTR, stupid homework boy. So you are listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
I never let you see. I keep a cage, but I can't control it. So stay away from me. The beast is ugly. I feel the rage and I just can't hold it. It's scratching on the wall, in the closet, in the hall. It comes awake and I can't control it. Hiding under the bed, in my body, in my head. Why won't somebody come and save me from this? Make it end. I feel it deep within. It's just beneath the skin. I must confess.
Hey man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
Ain't brushed them teeth since 1983.
Well, that ain't good. You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say?
Yeah, but don't give a damn if you don't like me.
Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can, watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on WildTalkRadio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
Hey, you.
Yes, you listening to WTR. You got an iPod, MP3 player, or some kind of Android device? Well, then why don't you go and get Squeaked? Squeaked Audio is high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds for simply awesome audio. There's four styles and six colors to choose from, so Squeaked Audio has a pair for everyone. You'll love the intense sound of all the Squeaked Audio products. They guarantee it. In fact, you get a lifetime limited warranty with all the shit they sell. Designed to sound great for music and talk, engineered for durability. Get your buds in red, blue, green, black, silver, or wood. Okay, that's not really a color, but they look pretty sweet. Four styles to choose from. Tweaked California, Tweaked Classic, Tweaked Parkour, and Tweaked Natural. Tweaked Audio earbuds retail from $19.95 to $34.95, but they're giving WTR listeners a deal. Because Wild Talk Radio rules and our fans rock. Just use the special code WILDTALK or WTR. Get your buds starting at only $12.95. Head on over to tweakedaudio.com. Grab a pair. Get tweaked. Tweaked Audio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insight from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels, letting you know that you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
broken, 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 broken.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com and, of course, TweetAudio.com. If you're just joining us, you missed all the news and us BSing pretty much, and, of course, our question of the night, which is, what should I do on my winter vacation? But now we're going to get into the meat of the show, so to speak, and that sounds wrong. We're going to talk all about tonight's Impact.
Yes, let's talk all about tonight's Impact Wrestling, which was a fun show. But before we do that, we should actually get your thoughts on Final Resolution.
I don't have that recap pulled up.
Well prepared are we, I see. Perfect.
My Firefox locked up. What do you want from me?
Alright, we'll go off memory, because, yeah, that's how we're going to do it.
Well, if you talk for about 5 more seconds, I can probably get to it, so...
You know, Eagles are sucking. How about that? That's where we're at tonight. Eagles suck tonight. Even though it was a great game, they've sucked.
Yeah, they're not doing well.
No, they're not. Really, really not. So have you pulled up a... Have you pulled up the results yet?
Yes, I have the results right here, and the fact that they had knockouts in swimsuits with Santa hats on. And by the way, thank that Joey Ryan commercial. Oh my God, that thing needs to be killed with fire. TNA, if you are in the sound of my voice, I do not want to see Joey Ryan's hairy ass drizzling himself in oil and then seductively rubbing himself while he's on a rocking horse. That is just wrong.
By the way, I have 2 rants for later on the show now. So, you know, stay tuned. It's going to be epic, maybe. Or kind of sad. Either way.
Hashtag pipe bomb.
I wouldn't call them pipe bombs.
Not pipe bombs?
No, they're just mini rants.
Firecrackers?
Yeah, we go firecrackers. Hashtag firecrackers. I don't know if that has the same oomph as pipe bomb, but we'll see.
Eh, why not? So, quick results from the pay-per-view. It opened, of course, with James Storm and Kazarian.
Yeah, this match. This was a pretty good match, I thought, for, you know, them working around James Storm's injury.
Yeah, and it was... You've got 2 solid guys in there, and they know what they're doing. These guys could probably put a match together in their sleep if they really wanted to. And it was a nice way to open the show.
It was. It was a nice, solid opener, which we predicted here on the show, at least I did, that we would actually see it. Because you need to get James Storm on the pay-per-view somehow, and this was before we even knew he got injured.
I didn't even realize he was injured.
Yeah, the word came out over the weekend that he was injured, so it was kind of surprising they put him on the show.
Well, yeah. It must not be too severe of an injury if he's working through it.
Or he's really on the painkillers just to numb it up.
We'll go with he's a tough SOB.
He's been drinking a lot.
When is he not drinking?
No wonder he gets through injuries. Anyway.
Anyway, moving on. Solid match. Solid promo, even though they used the word promo and apparently it bothered some people.
Yeah, it bothered Tim mainly. He called me go, that sounds weird, but Tim took offense to it. You don't say promo in a promo. Promo.
Brother.
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 So then we move on to Alan's favorite match of the night, which was Rob Van Dam versus Kenny King.
I thought this was the best RVD match we've seen in a while from Van Dam.
It was. It really was. They made it feel important. And it was good.
It was. I enjoyed it.
I think RVD maybe has been going through the motions a little bit, and Kenny King made him step it up.
And as we saw tonight, I was reading, people didn't like this the match on Sunday. I thought it was good, but you know, that's just one man's opinion.
From what I remember, it was good. And there wasn't really a bad match on this card.
Not particularly.
You know, as always, TNA's wrestling was spot on. Which, you can't really argue. But anyway, moving on, you have Austin Aries, or no, can't skip over that, can I? You have Chavo and Supermex facing Matt Morgan and Mr. Hairy Man himself, Joey Ryan. This was by far probably the weakest match. It was still decent, but it was, yeah, not my favorite. And Matt Morgan, if you want me to take you seriously as a badass, ditch the gold tights and cape. Seriously.
Just a simple piece of advice here from us here at the Wild Talk Radio Network. Just saying.
He looks like, I'm sorry, he looks like a bear or a pre-op transvestite. I can't figure out which.
Huh. That's a tough one.
And that's not meant to be offensive. It's just, it's...
I know, it's just, yeah.
Like, even purple tights would be better. Like, the royal purple that's on the inside of the cape, with, like, gold accents, that would be better than the solid gold shiny tights that Morgan has.
I don't know, I don't like the gold tights, they scare me.
And as for Joey Ryan, I want to pin that mother down and wax his chest. And still kill the commercial with fire.
Coming soon.
Kill him with fire! Pretty, pretty, pretty! Moving on. We have Austin Aries defeating Bully Ray, which was kind of surprising.
What, that Austin Aries went over?
Yeah. I was figuring they would have Bully Ray. Well, no, I guess I did pick Austin Aries to win, didn't I?
King Inns, did you pick him to win?
I don't remember. I could have sworn I picked Bully, but I wasn't sure. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on.
Moving on, yeah. This is not going to be the best of reviews because I've slept since the pay-per-view and drank heavily, so... Because, yay, finals are over. Anyway, things got interesting tonight between these two, for sure. So we'll get into that when we get into Impact.
Aries and Bully Ray at Kinkins. Is the one we were talking about. Yeah, but this match itself was pretty good. The finish, however, was a little, you know... Wardrobe malfunction, you know, a little bit.
Boobies! I don't mind the fact that Brooke Hogan got involved. We figured she was gonna.
Right.
I don't even mind the fact that her boobies got exposed. But you have Hogan playing the part of the protective father. And he does nothing to cover up the fact that she's exposed. And she's not even ashamed of the fact that she's exposed. She's not trying to cover herself up and have any sense of modesty. She's just letting it all hang out. Like
right.
It's nothing.
It was just a really awkward finish.
Yeah, and then you have Hogan come out and get her and do nothing else. It was... The story got better tonight, but yeah, the finish to the match... was a little awkward. Just a little.
Yeah, it was, and well... Again, I don't think the whole top was supposed to come off at that point. But yeah, it was an awkward finish. But it plays into the story.
So we'll see how it progresses, and we'll talk more about it tonight after this.
Yes.
Up next, you have Tara defeating Mickey James with, I believe, the help of Jesse.
Yes.
In a solid match, Mickey was a bit rusty.
Yeah, she was a little rusty. But I thought the match was enjoyable. They gave him some time. It was enjoyable.
It was better than any Divas match you'll see.
Yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. It was better than any Divas match that you probably have seen in a while.
Yeah, again, we gotta say the wrestling, spot on.
Yes.
And it's going to get interesting as the ladies are going to be the focus of next week's Championship Thursday.
Yeah, it is. So that's going to be interesting.
So, yay! But after...
Oh, see, that caught Tim's attention. We were talking about Brooke's tits.
Not the Hanukkah joke, but Brooke's tits.
But Brooke's tits, yes. That caught Tim's attention when we were talking about Brooke Hogan's tits.
Why am I not surprised that boobs catch Tim's attention?
Well, he's male, so anyone you see boobs, it gets someone's attention.
Yeah, but they're attached to Brooke Hogan.
They're still boobs.
And he's also a dirty old man.
This is true. He's not defending himself, so all he did was LOL, so, you know.
Oh, so it admits it.
Yeah, so he admits that he's a dirty old man. You know, taking things out of context, but, you know, it works for the story we're trying to tell.
Yeah. That's our story, and we're sticking to it. So after that, we have Team Angle versus Devon Steve and two unnamed members of Aces and Eights. And this was kind of surprising.
It was okay. I wasn't the biggest fan of this match. It was okay. The finish I was surprised with.
Yeah, because this is the match that you expected somebody from Aces and Eights to either be revealed or for somebody on the TNA side to turn.
You were expecting some sort of beatdown coming in this match, and you didn't get it.
It never happened.
Nope.
But with what they did tonight, I can see why they did it and potentially to what they're building to.
Oh, I agree.
They're going to make, if you haven't heard the rumors, Garrett Bischoff and Wes Briscoe are going to be part of Aces and Eights. So when that betrayal finally comes, they're building it to be a really big deal, which it should be. You know, honestly, especially if they betray Angle.
Right.
But it was a little surprising that at least one of them didn't turn or somebody from Aces and Eights wasn't unmasked.
You were expecting some storyline progression with the Aces and Eights on the pay-per-view, and we fully didn't get that.
But we got it tonight.
We did, but it was not the way, not what you thought we would be getting.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that in a couple minutes.
Yeah, it's got twists and turns to it. And in match of the night, easily, hands down...
Speaking of twists and turns...
Huh?
Speaking of twists and turns...
Now, speaking of twists and turns, the end-all, be-all, the one final time, the match to write home to your mama about, Christopher Daniels defeated AJ Styles clean.
In match 116?
Yeah, 116.
Which means they've had, like, what, 12 matches a year or something?
Something like that, yeah.
If we can do the math or whatever, but... That's Mace's job. Mace isn't here. They had a really good match. I really enjoyed the finish. Where he hit the Styles Clash on AJ for the victory himself and then, well, spit in his face.
And then flicked off the crowd.
Yep, flicked off the crowd, spit in the face. You know, typical heel. It's Christopher Daniels. What else do you expect?
He's just awesome like that. But yeah, this was... It's Christopher Daniels and AJ Styles, and if you've never watched TNA before, if you've never seen these two wrestle before, go to YouTube, look them up. They are fantastic together. It's been one of the longest standing rivalries in TNA, and potentially ROH as well, because they were both there as well. So, they do fantastic work together.
Yeah, they do. So you can't expect anything less than from these two, other than high quality matches, and that's what we got tonight.
And we just got high quality promos from Christopher Danielson, which was awesome. A little booty shaking, and we got an Apple Teeny, but like I said, we'll keep previewing it. But
yeah.
And of course, in your final match of the evening, the main event, you saw Jeff Hardy taking on Bobby Roode, and he defeated him. And well, Bobby got a little smackdown of his own, didn't he?
He did. He got a little bit of a smackdown after Aces and Eights came out. He was calling for them during the match. They only stood at ringside. After the match, they came in, beat down Hardy, and then they beat down Bobby Roode because he kept asking, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? And then, well, you know, he got beat down. He paid, I guess apparently he didn't pay them enough money.
Nope. It seems like, well, somebody paid him more, didn't they, Rock?
Apparently so. And that's how we lead into tonight. Before we get, that's how we're going to lead into Impact tonight. But overall, what you think of the show? Grade it.
It was a B. It was not as good as some of the other shows they put on the last couple months. As far as pay-per-view-wise, it was a weaker show, but it was still good. And, you know, honestly, it's a throwaway pay-per-view going into the new year. So I can understand why it's not as strong as, say, last month's offering.
Right, and as you clearly tell, that's why they're cutting back on pay-per-view, so there's less wasted pay-per-views like this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much, it's Final Resolution, nobody really cares. No titles were going to change hands. We knew that going in. So it's like, okay, well, it's a throwaway, and then we're going to go right into January's pay-per-view, and they're going to hit the ground running because they will have to build to lockdown.
And we're going to get a lot into lockdown later in the show. Ooh, don't you? Ooh, ooh.
Yeah, they've got to sell out the Alamo Dome.
yeah, they do. We're going to get in all that in detail later in the show. But yeah. We have Impact
tonight.
And
it's not going to be positive. Just warning everybody now.
Yeah, just warning everybody. It's not going to be positive.
So, how does Impact open tonight?
With the one, the only, Bobby Roode, he comes down and he's demanding answers from the Aces and Eights about what happened. Basically, Devon said, Roode was outbid. And, well, tonight we might just find out who it was that outbid him. Because they're not the type of guys to, you know, say who it is. At this point, Jeff Hardy came to the ring and, you know, he actually told him to cut off the music. Hardy said he was here to fight, and, well, they went right after the Aces and Eights because Hardy had James Storm along with him. The two of them chased him off, and that's how Impact basically opened up tonight.
Which was fantastic, except for Jeff Hardy's pink hoodie.
You don't like this pink hoodie.
I hate the pink hoodie. I think it's awful. Not only is it a horrible shade of pink, but Jeff Hardy, it's how do you expect me to take you seriously other than it's Jeff Hardy and we know you're weird in a pink hoodie?
Yeah. Well, you just heard his music, so, you know.
He just ain't right. I'm telling you, folks, he's just not right.
There's something wrong in his head, I'm just, you know, saying. But anyway, after this, we had Velvet Sky backstage talking about how she's excited to be back and how her eyes are set on the prize, and that being the Knockouts title, and how she's now ready for action.
And so are the Pigeons.
They're ready to be let loose.
Which I still don't understand how Pigeons flying out of Velvet Sky's ass is sexy, but okay. And by the way, Taz's reaction to her gear, oh my god.
He was in love.
He was in love. I'm surprised he didn't climb over the table and just take her right there.
Sounded like he wanted to. He was in love.
Yeah, somebody liked it a little bit more than, well, they probably should have. But after Velvet Sky, we had Mickie James, and she was in the back. She was crying, saying that she let the fans down. She let herself down by losing to Tara at Final Resolution. And she says she wanted to come back and make an impact, and she's disappointed with herself, and she calls the loss, well, bullshit. And then we also find out that thanks to Brooke Hogan, the Knockouts division is been coming back and been stronger than ever, and that next week's Championship Thursday will revolve around the Knockouts title.
Stronger than ever. Okay.
Well, they are starting to make a little bit of a comeback.
A little bit of a comeback, yes, I would agree.
But, so in your first contest of the evening, you have Madison Rayne, doing the Beauty Queen gimmick right, by the way, versus Velvet Sky in her new cat suit.
Your basic Velvet Sky Madison Rayne match that we've seen 1,000 times.
Yeah, I mean, it was decent. It was all right.
Yeah, they know each other well enough. It was passable. It wasn't the greatest women's match you've ever seen, but it was passable for the night. I had no issues. There was no real bad spots or anything. It was a solid match. Velvet won. She gets to continue her push on her own way to getting a title shot, possibly next week.
Woohoo! Sorry, that's all I got.
All right, time for you to give me a bigger woohoo. We have Kurt Angle with Wes Briscoe and Garrett Bischoff.
Woohoo!
There you go. And
I'm
well,
in love with Wes Briscoe, in case you don't know that.
Yes, she is. Basically, Garrett Bischoff wanted a cup of coffee. Angle said, no, don't you have a cup of coffee. No. Have a nice 5-hour energy.
Yes, because 5-hour energy is exactly what you need to guzzle right before you're going to go wrestle a wrestling match. That's like the equivalent of doing speed, isn't it?
I believe so. So this awkward sponsorship brought to you by 5-hour energy.
At least it was better than the insurance shill they did last week.
It was, but not... yeah. Next time I actually want to see them actually drink the 5-hour energy. And then you actually wrestle the match.
You know, inside they're going, ew.
Never gonna happen.
Never gonna happen. We find out later in the show that it's going to be the Aces and Eights versus Jeff Hardy and James Storm. And then we get Kaz and Daniels.
And what do they have to say?
Well, the interview wanted to know if they had anything to do with paying off the Aces and Eights and screwing over Bobby Roode, and they say, no, of course not. We're friends with Bobby Roode. Kaz says, well, it was probably AJ Styles, because he has nothing to lose.
Did we get some singing?
We did get some singing, and we got some dancing from Christopher Daniels as well. And then we found out that Kaz got him a really big gift, and CD only got Kaz a gift certificate. So somebody has to do some Christmas shopping.
Move on, please. Just move on. Just move on.
What's wrong with that?
You saying he got him a really big gift is really dirty.
Only to you.
Only to... Really? Really? Only to me? Really?
Only to you.
Really? Uh-huh. Sure.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Uh-huh. Sure. Right. Like, yours isn't there.
Not right now, it's not.
Sure.
I can get it there if you really need me to.
Go for it.
As TNA turns, Kaz gets Daniels a really big present. Will Daniels reciprocate? Tune in to find out.
There you go. Job well done.
Thank you. Anyway.
I told you to pause. I'm going to die now.
Moving on! We had a nice video package highlighting the Aces and Eights, Mojo and Kurt Angle, as well as while Garrett Bischoff and Wes Briscoe's music plays. Then we have the Robbies come out with their ugly sweaters, and the match is off between Wes and Garrett with the Robbies.
What we learned from this match is that Robbie is no longer fist pumping a lot because of it hurts his rotator cuff. That was the fact given to us by Taz. He said it in some sort of fashion like that. I can't remember his exact words, but that was basically it. In other words, the Jersey Shore is ending, so let's not do their gimmick.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much.
Because next week, I believe, is the series finale of the Jersey Shore.
To which we say, thank you, God.
Goodbye.
Which begs the question, what's going to happen to the Robbies now that Jersey Shore is over?
They may actually have to get a real gimmick. Oh my God, what in the world? No way.
It'll never happen.
Nah, they'll still be the fist-pumping, sweater-wearing fools.
With the god-awful hair.
That's... No, I can't say Spike because that's someone else's gimmick. Anyway, Wes and Garrett won.
Yes, they did, but, well, there were some shenanigans, weren't there?
There were?
Yeah, as Wes and Garrett were celebrating, well... Somebody from the Aces and Eights came out and
took
out...
Oh, those shenanigans. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody came out and attacked Mr. Angle.
And smacked him upside the knee.
Trying to, you know, injure him before his big TV title match next week against Aces and Eights leader Devon. Somebody's up to no good.
So yes, as Garrett and Wes tend to Kurt, we get probably the video package of the night.
Oh yeah, you should explain this to the people.
Just so you guys aren't aware, one of our most favoritest characters on this show is Joseph Parks, who is Abyss. Joseph Parks is a lawyer from Chicago. He is with Park, and he is the gullible yet sweet brother of Abyss. And he's completely normal. He's not insane, except for those occasional personality snaps where he does a black hole slam when he sees blood. So, Joseph got kidnapped by the Aces and Eights, and now he's out for blood. He wants to take them out, but Hulk Hogan just doesn't want the liability. He just doesn't even want to deal with it. So what does Joseph decide to do? He decides to go get trained as a wrestler. And they did exactly what I was hoping they were going to do with this, which is you show Joseph Parks in wrestling camp.
Oh, yes they did.
You have Joseph Parks pull up to OVW in a beetle. A beetle bug, I might add.
Car a little too, you know, small for one, Joseph, but...
The fact that he even fit in that car astounds me.
It was very impressive, I will say that.
Although he was a little stuck.
Just a tiny bit.
And then you have him wandering through, and he finds Danny Davis at a computer, and he introduces himself and asks him to train him. He wants to be a wrestler. And then they cut to Abyss working out in the ring, or I'm sorry, Joseph Park working out in the ring, and Danny yelling at him. And well, Joseph, well, couldn't quite stomach it, could he?
No,
it seems Joseph wasn't prepared for the physical aspects of wrestling and training for wrestling, and well, he got a little sick.
Yeah, he did. But that was day one. Day one of training with Danny Davis at OVW for one Joseph Park. By the way, Joe, you should always remember your gear.
Yeah, that was like the one thing with him trying to do the sit-ups in the suit.
Yeah. Maybe next time, Joe, make sure you bring the sweatsuit. Just saying.
Bring the sweatsuit next time, and I want to see Joseph Park take a bump.
Oh, we're going to get that. Without question. It's going to be awesome, too. We now go back to Orlando, where Tara and Jesse walk into Brooke's office. They knock this time around, because last time they knocked, they saw people in an uncomfortable position. Tara noted their boyfriends are wrestling tonight, so they need to stick together. Tara was basically kissing up to Brooke, and Brooke was basically ignoring that, and then told her she'll find out, you know, because Tara wants to know who her opponent is. She'll help pick the opponent for next week. But you know, Brooke says, no, we'll she'll find out who she's defending against next week, just like everyone else will. Tara, you know, a little bit upset, told Brooke that her boyfriend is going to lose to Jesse tonight. That's funny.
Right?
That's funny. Nice one, Tara. Jesse's going to win a match against Bully Ray. That's funny. She made it funny.
Actually, I'm a little surprised Bully didn't kick Jesse's ass more than he did, but...
Oh, I was expecting a squash, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But, yeah.
We had another mysterious 1-3-13 promo.
Yeah. But it's all in orange, which makes me wonder if... Well, Taz can't get back in the ring, can he?
No, Taz can't get back in the ring now.
Which makes me wonder who it could be.
I said the Crimson at first. My gut's telling me it's somebody else now. The man called Sting.
You think he's coming back?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Sting. I don't know why, I just get this feeling. It's going to be big hype for the return of Sting.
I hope not. I hope it's somebody... No offense to Sting, but I hope it's somebody cool.
It should be for Eric Young.
Dude, that'd be awesome!
But they won't spend that much time on promoting Eric Young.
No, sadly they won't.
Backstage, we had Kenny King excited to face Rob Van Dam tonight, because it was his dream match, but, you know, he lost at Final Resolution. King fouled tonight to, you know, right the wrong by knocking RVD flat on his ass tonight. And then we get our tag team match. Jeff Hardy, James Storm against two members of Aces and Eights, Steve from Wyoming, and that other big mask guy.
We're gonna have to name them. I mean, because Bunny Fufu has a better run yet. So we have Steve, and we need to name the other mask guy.
What can we call him?
I don't know. Chat room. What should we call the new Aces and Eights guy? And we can't name him Steve Jr. So don't ask.
I would say Beardo, but we don't know if that's technically who he is. So. We have a suggestion for Ben.
Yes, I see Ben.
Steve and Ben.
By the way, Kane Kittens, Taker is above all. Then there's Kane. Then there's Storm. Then there's Drew. And then there's Wes.
And there's probably a whole bunch of other people in between.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of other people in between. But Taker and Kane are right there at number one, and they switch back and forth.
All right, so Johnny Ringo. I don't know. No, I'm not a big fan of Johnny Ringo. His name doesn't have a nice
Ringo. We could call him Ringo.
Steven
Ringo.
I think we need to keep trying. So keep coming with suggestions. We're gonna continue on.
Yeah.
Because it's not having a nice ring to it.
Yeah, it's. Just say it out loud. Steve and insert name here.
Yeah. Anyway, we have Steve and insert name here taking on James Storm and Jeff Hardy.
In a good match.
Yeah, it was a really good match.
I was happy Jeff Hardy left his mommy alive, helmet at home.
Yeah, that was a good thing. God, awful helmet. Jesus.
Oh, my God. That was awful. Yeah, we forgot to mention that in the Final Resolution. Recap.
Yeah.
Jeff Hardy had the most god-awful helmet that he wore to the ring I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not enough that he rips off Taker. No, no. Now he's got to rip off Kane, too.
Yeah. We have James Storm and Jeff Hardy picking up the victory in this match. Aren't the Ace and Ace supposed to be these tough guys that win matches?
You would think?
You would think? Maybe?
I don't quite know what they're doing with them.
I don't know. They're basically hired assassins who can't get the job done?
Well, they can apparently get the job done because they saved Hardy's title for somebody, but I'm like, I'm kind of hoping they rebound them in 2013. That's the only thing I can think they're going to do. But again, it's, they should have, in all honesty, beaten the crap out of Jeff Hardy and James Storm.
They should have. They should have ignored the rules and just beat them down.
You should have had the entire gang come out and beat the crap out of them. Because if anybody can take that, it's James Storm and Jeff Hardy.
Right. Because then you're taking out your two top guys, and you know, now you're making the statement. Instead, you lost to Hardy and Storm, and well, didn't get anywhere from it. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Something's off with the story so far right now.
Because I'm starting to have a really hard time with Aces and Eights and taking them as anything other than just fail.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, they're hired henchmen who can only get the job half the time when they're paid to do it. Out of the ring. Speaking of out of the ring, after all the big hubbub after the match, we have D-Von. So the Aces and Eights is not about doing other people's business. So basically said, you know, the guy who paid him off at Final Resolution was Austin Aries.
What?
Someone was able to outbid Bobby Roode, the man with all the money.
And it was Double A?
I didn't think that he would have that type of money, but apparently he does. Because you know he doesn't get paid to do other people's business, but we'll get into that later.
No, he doesn't.
But he had enough money to pay off the Aces and Eights.
More than Bobby Roode, which means either Bobby Roode didn't put enough money in, or Austin has been doing some things we don't even want to think about.
He's been having some fun on the side, apparently.
Apparently. Well, he did say his money sings, so...
So, you know.
Take that for what you will. Anyway, we have Hulk Hogan in the back, and he's furious at what the Aces and Eights said. Bobby Roode comes in and says he's angry at Aries. Hogan gets a phone call, and of course, it's Double A. Or A-double.
A-double, yeah. Yeah, go with A-double, because Double A is another guy.
I know. I get them confused.
Wait,
Hogan
says... Okay, anyway, continue.
I get the names confused, sorry.
I was going to say, how could you get Aaron Anderson and Austin Aries confused? That's, you know... One, you know, anyway.
I know. Hogan says A-double can speak his mind, but he has to come clean regarding his affiliation with Aces and Eights. He tells him that he has until the end of the night. Hogan said Roode needs to back off, and Roode says Hogan better have a plan.
Better have a plan, brother. Better have a plan. What you gonna do without the plan, brother?
Well, somebody else has a plan.
Do they?
Yeah, AJ Styles apparently had a plan because, well, he came to the ring with a purpose.
He did. He came right down to the ring. He began noting that, you know, he demanded the time to come out and address you. Styles said he doesn't have to tell you how long he's been here, where he's going, or how long it will take to get, you know, to get there. The fan chant, "You still got it." And basically told him, you know, "I'm not going anywhere." He continued that the truth is he's not sure where he's going. He also said he doesn't know what the next step is because he spent so much time being a corporate guy. Styles said he forgot all about number one. So basically, what I'm out here to tell you is this. Styles said that this has nothing to do with you or the Impact Zone or Dixie Carter. Then he took off his shirt and hat. Has nothing to do with Impact Wrestling. This has everything to do with AJ Styles. Styles said he's sick and tired of being the corporate janitor cleaning up every TNA mess. He's sick and tired of doing the right thing. So what's he going to do? His own thing. Okay.
Which apparently is AJ's own thing, is get naked in the middle of the ring, and I wholeheartedly approve this.
I, Yeah, that's the part you agree with. I'm just confused where, I guess this was a heel turn for AJ, maybe?
Yeah, it looks like it's an attempted heel turn, because after this, Dixie Carter tried to stop AJ in the back, and she asked him, who are you? And AJ just tossed his shirt in Dixie's face, and he walked off. And actually, this is where we got the dance.
Oh, this is where we got the dance, okay.
This is where we got the dance. Yes, as we said earlier, we're now back to Kaz and Daniels, and they think AJ Styles' departure is, of course, amazing. Daniels actually does a little dance with his Appletini, and he sings. He says this is just like Christmas, and Kaz says he has a surprise for Daniels and leaves singing. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. To which Christopher, of course, says, wait, I only got you a gift certificate. I thought we weren't doing big gifts this year.
That was the segment. Okay. Okay. I was like, okay. Yeah, I knew it had something with AJ, yeah. But
yeah.
Ooh, wonder what that could be.
Claire Lynch?
Oh, God, no. Please. Oh, God, no. No more Claire Lynch. Please, no.
Actually, did you see Dave Lagana's tweet about they did the office gift exchange?
No.
And somebody got somebody else a Claire Lynch photo framed in a silver TNA frame. And Christopher Daniels responded, you captured her luminance so perfectly.
That was an early tweet of the week.
Yes, that's an early tweet of the week. That's awesome.
Oh, I see the picture now. Worst Secret Santa gift at this year at the office.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Well played.
We'll nominate that again in a minute after the break for Tweet of the Week. Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, and then, of course, here is the Wojcik special.
The old Wojcik special of the night.
Kenny King versus Rob Van Dam.
Solid match.
Yeah, pretty solid match. My only issue was with the finish and the fact that they were all right there together. I'm surprised the ref didn't feel King's legs go up on the ropes.
Yeah.
Especially since he bumped him.
Yeah, he was a little too far away from the ropes, so he was trying to stretch.
But yeah, Kenny King picks up the win after putting his feet on the ropes.
So it looks like we're getting a heel turn from one Kenny King.
Which is fine.
Yeah, that's you know, nothing wrong with that.
Definitely nothing wrong with that, but yeah. So, and this is where we all heard Alan squee because Kenny King won.
Yes, Kenny King won a match on Impact. And, you know, Alan Wojcik enjoys that immensely.
We love you, Alan.
We do. We really do. Now, this next segment we're about to get into. Segment of the night?
Yeah, and as much as it pains me to say it, it involves Hulk Hogan.
Well, I can't do this justice, and I know you can't do this justice, and I just found it on the YouTubes. I think we should play the segment.
Absolutely.
Hopefully this is the right segment. Hopefully.
Getting any easier. No, we can... Well, hold on a minute. Hey, what are you doing in here?
I just want to know if you've had a change of heart, maybe a different opinion now, after Final Resolution.
Well, you apparently don't realize how big of a problem you're causing, do you? Because your personal shenanigans, not being man enough to come to me and say, hey, me and your daughter got this thing, you know, we want to talk and be friends, but no. You know, your personal BS has turned into my business. Because my daughter wouldn't have been at Austin Aries' disposal. She wouldn't have been at harm's way if it wasn't for you sneaking around the back door trying to make something happen on the side. So everything that's going down, I haven't changed my mind one bit about the way I feel about you and the way I feel about this situation with you and my daughter. It's become business for me now.
What makes you think I got anything going on with your daughter?
Well, she's personally invested.
Maybe she's invested in me. Maybe she likes me. Maybe your daughter is making googly eyes at me. Did you ever think of that? What makes you think I'm doing it back?
Well, maybe it is one-sided, Mark. You know, maybe it is just her that's chasing you around, and maybe she's the one that threw you down on the couch in my office and was spending
Nobody
time
was thrown down on the couch. We were sitting next to each other, and she was apologizing for you. Because you have been treating me like... How's that?
Well, if that's the way it is, and I'm dead wrong about this thing, there's no reason for you to ever see or talk to my daughter again, because maybe... it was my fault that she went running down to ringside and almost got her teeth kicked back in by Austin Aries. So is that what you're telling me?
Listen, all I did was come down and try to shut the guy up. I know what the guy is like. I was trying to show respect for your daughter. It's called doing the right thing. I should be on Team Hogan for standing up for your daughter, for standing next to Sting. I bled... Turn your respect! What's it gonna take, Terry?
Let's not bull each other.
I don't respect veterans that I have respect for, and I've always had respect for you from the first day I met you.
Well, don't let that or a seatbelt hold you back, or maybe even my daughter.
What your daughter does is her business. She's a grown woman. Get over it.
Weak.
Yeah, buddy. Oh.
Go, bully, go. That's all I gotta say, man. And Hogan's eyes were bloodshot. It's crazy in this.
Yeah, they were. But, oh my god, was that a promo?
That was absolutely remarkable. And the audio doesn't do it justice. The facial expressions, wow.
Yeah, it's on Impact Wrestling's YouTube page. Check it out after the show. Whew.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Hey, we're gonna have a match. That's a match to sell it, brother. It's a promo to sell it, brother.
And I'm kind of sad it happened now, as opposed to potentially a few months from now when the match is actually gonna happen.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
But up next we have Jesse versus Bully Ray.
In our main event?
In our main event, and you know what? It was a solid main event.
Bully dominated, Jesse made a comeback, and then, well, Bully took advantage and beat the crap out of him. And his chest, oh my god.
His pec changed colors! It was purple.
It was spectacular.
I'm surprised it didn't pop.
I'm surprised too. But oh my god, he really laid into him. Ooh.
Yeah, that was... Ooh, man. I knew Bully chopped hard, but damn. That was some harsh shit.
Yeah, it was. It really was.
Anyway, Bully hit the Bubba Cutter for the 1-2-3, and afterwards a bloody Bully, because you could see where he bladed himself from the weekend. It was still fresh, because obviously they shot this Monday. Looked at the camera and said, "What's it going to take?"
Brother.
Brother.
Brother, 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 brother.
And then after this, we got Austin Aries walking through the back. He tells the camera to back off because he's about to tell the world what he's done.
The question is, Lindsay, what has he done?
Well, Austin Aries has, in fact, outbid Bobby Roode, and he paid off the Aces and Eights. Aries says Roode should understand that since he subscribes to the phrase money talks, Aries says he understands, then... Roode should understand that, well, his money sings. Ari says he understands the Aces and Eights refusal to fight other people's battles. He brings up Hogan, getting him to fight his battle against the Aces and Eights earlier in the year. When that was over, the Hulkster tossed Aries aside to hop on the Jeff Hardy bandwagon. And that is why Aries has been doing everything that he's been doing. He won't stop until he's champion again. Basically, he's trying to get revenge at Hulk Hogan by going through Jeff Hardy, the Aces and Eights, and Brooke.
That dastardly Austin Aries.
It's creative. I'll give him that.
Very creative. He said he was not stopped until he's world champion, and this brought out the world champion, Jeff Hardy. Hardy said this is about him and what he has. Then noted Aries hired a motorcycle gang to help him talk about pathetic. Hardy said he said Aries should have just asked like a man for another title shot. Aries doesn't buy that and said he has to ask and then jump off a ladder, jump through hoops, climb a moat, slay a dragon.
Awesome line.
Yeah, it was. You know, Hardy tongue-in-cheek said he likes the ideas presented and it's cool to see Austin Aries has opened up his imagination. Hardy then got serious and said, you know, you want a title shot? Let's do it. Aries, Hardy, 3 next week on Championship Thursday. Aries said, laughed and said, that's not going to happen. The match is not going to happen in front of Hardy's fans. Harry says, the problem is, he doesn't do what the fans want, and he doesn't do what Hardy wants. Hardy said, that's the difference between them. I give the fans what they want. And then he went and attacked Austin Aries. Hardy put on the offense. Hardy then hit Aries with the Twist of Fate, and then celebrated, basically celebrated. As Aries retreated.
Great show.
Great show. Ending. It was a great ending. Great show. Had a better feel than the last time they taped the show. I enjoyed it.
I did as well. It was far better than Raw.
Made more sense than Raw.
They really came off the pay-per-view and pushed the storylines a lot further, and I almost wish they had done this on the pay-per-view just because it would have made it that much stronger. But what they did tonight really worked. And because they didn't do anything on the pay-per-view, that tonight did need to happen to further all those storylines.
Yeah, we took some step backs, but we took a lot of steps forward with storylines. Yeah, the Aces and Eights storyline took a step back big time tonight. That's my opinion.
Yeah, again, it's for something that was supposed to be something really hot and they were very excited about, they don't seem to be doing a lot with it unless it's going to really, really, really go in 2013, which I hope it does. But I almost feel like they've done too much damage at this point to the Aces and Eights to really make them even a credible threat.
And it's not more about the credible threat, it's more of... it's missing that specialness. It's missing that it's missing the star it needs. It doesn't have that big star. While Devon's turn was great to join them, it still needs one more big moment, big name to solidify the group to make it seem important. Because a group led by Devon is not a group you take serious.
Yeah, it's almost like, okay, we need to find out who's behind them. We need to know who the leader is.
Right, because you have background players. You know, the Devon's been always the second guy with Bubba Ray, or Bully Ray, whatever you want to call him now. He's always been the second guy. Luke Gallows has always been the second guy. He's never been the guy. And right now you have two guys, because they're the two guys on mass. They're the two faces of the group that are, normally background players, and are supposed to be leading this group right now, and it's not working. While their involvement is great, they'll make, again, great secondary players in the story. We need the main player.
Yeah, we need to know who the leader is at this stage. Or we need to know who more members are.
We need the main player now. We need the main player. It's getting to that point where the main player needs to step up and get more involved, at least get more involved. Even if we don't know his identity right away, he needs to be more of a focus, because the Devon leading is not the direction you need to go right now.
And they kind of had that, where they did have the VP guy there at the pay-per-view. They had him there at the tapings tonight. So he was there. He was visible.
But he needs to be cutting the promos, be more of a focus.
The problem is he can't cut the promos without the voice changer.
And that's your problem. When the angle was sort of hot, you had him cutting the promos. Now you got to get him back cutting the promos, because Devon's not working.
Yeah. But that's Impact.
That's Impact. That was Final Resolution. Hope you enjoyed that recap. Because we enjoyed the show, so.
Yeah, it was a good show. I know a lot of people are downing it, and I know a lot of people said it sucked. And I will agree, it was not their strongest offering, at least for Final Resolution, but it was way better than a lot of the WWE pay-per-views I have watched recently.
Good point.
At least when I finished watching Final Resolution, it's like, oh god, did I really just sit through that for 3 hours?
Yeah, it wasn't their best, but it wasn't their worst. We've seen really bad TNA pay-per-views. Nothing.
Oh my god.
Nothing has let us... There was nothing on that show that left us scratching our heads, really.
Except for Aces and Eights, but, well... What can you do?
But even then, on the pay-per-view, it was more of, okay, the finish was okay. It wasn't head-scratching.
Right.
In a bad way. It was okay, what will they do? It was a nice... The ending on the pay-per-view was good. Tonight was a step back, but we'll see where it goes. We gotta give it time. They're building on their story, so they know where they want to go.
Right, and that's the important thing, is they're moving forward.
Yes. But I think on that note, we should take a break.
I think we should as well. So when we come back, we're going to have our, of course, favorite segment, Tweet of the Week. We're going to do TLC preview and pick 'em. We're going to preview also SmackDown a little bit. And we've got some discussions tonight, including TNA's lockdown in the Alamo Dome, and, well, the Divas, can they be saved? So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Everybody, Johnny Cashmere back here on WildTalkRadio.com, reminding you that every Friday night we get deep. That's right, have your depth checked for free on WildTalkRadio.com. Friday nights, 9 p.m., with my wake up call, we talk to guests from the world of paranormal, the world of fringe, guests like author Michael Cremo, guests like Ancient Aliens' own Philip Coppins, guests like Sci-Fi Channel's Ben Hansen, and many, many more scheduled throughout the year. Check us out Friday nights right here for your wake-up call. This is Johnny Cashmere.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer.
Shut up.
Producer of the show.
Shut up. For the Trump Rob Parks.
Why do you think Rob Parks didn't do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait.
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big
Wow.
It insulted myself real bad. Wow.
All right, when everyone was listening to that, forget about it.
Forget.
Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What I do?
Right. I'm Bob Thomas, your Godfather tree, for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was.
Peace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix gone off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Here she comes again, like good medicine. Every step she takes, my blood is flowing. Her legs go on and on for days.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com, and of course, TweetAudio.com, and I guess we're coming back to Maria's music?
Yes, we were doing a Diva segment, and I like her song, so, you know.
Hey, you know what? Nothing wrong with that. Maria's pretty awesome.
She kind of is.
So, with that note, something else that is awesome, Tweet of the Week!
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So, Rock, would you like to go first?
Sure. Dolph Ziggler, Hope Super Cena, at John Cena, climbs the ladder as awkwardly as he runs, and the real face of WWE will prevail. Hashtag Ziggler's better. Scrolling up my Twitter feed, because that's where I have them all. Jim Ross did a tweet going, does anyone else think that the WWE crowd still yelling, what is getting old? Hashtag sauce it. Got the response from Steve Austin. What? Andrew Goldstein, a former WWE writer. John Cena says, you can't see me. Keith Richards responds, I'm so drunk, I can't see anything, mate.
Nice.
Joey Styles, calm down, WWE AJ Lee. Do you think real brawler cried every time he lost a match? He would have been crying nonstop for 10 years.
Oh.
Our favorite public relations publicist Mark tweets, Colt Cabana got to hang with Brooklyn Brawler. Hope you guys got to play Dreidel and light candles with Heyman Hustle and Giant Bernard.
Nice!
Yeah, those are my, let's see. Here's one from Spike Eskin. He's a radio guy here in town. I feel like this game is bad for minors to watch. Should be scrambled like the Spice Channel was. In reference to tonight's Eagles game.
Maybe the Parents Television Council will get down their throats.
Just like they are with The Walking Dead.
Yeah. Parents PTC with The Walking Dead, go to hell. That's all I'm going to say.
So, or, what do you have?
CM Punk. No matter anybody's plans for you, believe in yourself, trust yourself, know, and give them hell. Because they're not worth the sum of you and your friends.
Nice one.
Oh, I went for inspirational as opposed to funny. Although, he hasn't tweeted lately, so...
He's on Twitter silence, it seems, since he got hurt.
Come back to us, CM Punk. We miss you.
Is that your only tweet of the week?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. I should bring up the Joseph Park one from tonight. Day one of wrestling training equals hard.
We're with you, Joseph. We support you 100%.
We support you 100%. Yeah.
But one thing we don't support, well, TNA, as we all know, is going to the Alamo Dome for lockdown, which we think is awesome, or at least I think is awesome, but except for the fact that they kind of released the seating chart. And this is one of those things that when we first got the announcement, everybody was going, okay, well, how are they going to work this? What's it going to look like? And... yeah, how's it going to go? So we were all kind of guessing and trying to figure it out. And then TNA released their seating chart. And we see exactly how they're going to do it. And Rock showed this to me last night. And I honestly have tried to figure it out all day to even have words to justify it. And I can't. I'm sorry, TNA. I'm a supporter. I love you guys. But... the fact that you're renting a 70,000-seat arena and you're not even going to fill a fifth of it is a waste of money, and frankly, it's ridiculous. It really is. I'm going to put the seating chart, the link to the seating chart, in the chat room.
It's on our screen as well.
It's on our screen as well? Okay, yes. Well, if you're watching the show on the Justin TV player, you can see it on the screen right now as we speak, where you'll see a little itty-bitty corner of the arena is carved out. Like, they're in the lower bowl and on the floor, and only, what would you say, like, half of the ring is surrounded by full seating, and then the other half has floor seats, and then nothing.
Yes, yes. You can't see where the ring is. Here, I'll make a little yellow mark on the screen. See that yellow mark? That's the ring. You know... That's their seating.
Yeah, King Kittens, what the hell's right?
That's what they're selling. That's all the tickets are selling. I'm going. They're not using 85% of the building. That was my guess.
As Rock pointed out last night, the circus sells more than this.
Not by much. Not by much.
They do.
Here, let me find another color. Use the blue line. See this little blue line? They got a little. That's how much more the circus used. Just that much more. So, you know, it's like, TNA, you decide to use the Alamo Dome, and well, you're kind of using the Alamo Dome. You're using this much of the Alamo Dome. You're using 15% of the Alamo Dome. Well, you have. Everything else, let's find another color. All of this in green available.
You're having fun with this, aren't you?
I am. I get to use the, you know, the telestrator.
Ooh.
Ooh, fancy, I know.
For getting high tech here on the rack. Yeah. But yeah, it's, I mean, if you're, I get the lure of wanting to work the Alamo Dome. It's a big venue. It's a recognizable name. Everybody knows the Alamo Dome, as opposed to some podunk little building somewhere else in San Antonio.
Right. But...
but it's... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, but when you're not even going to use even half of it or a quarter of it, it's a waste of money. I mean, I want to know how much it costs them to rent that. Because you've got to rent the whole building. It's not like you can divide it and have the other part of it be used for something else. They had to rent that entire space for the night.
Right. Unless, maybe here's what they're doing off the top of my head. Maybe this area is the Fan Fest, the whole big open area. It's where they'll hold the Fan Fest. But even then, I'm going, all they really need for FanFest is about half of that space.
I would guess not. They're probably going to hold FanFest. If they hold FanFest at the arena, they're not going to do it in the physical arena, just because crowd control would be a nightmare. And
true.
The security you would have to rent for that is ridiculous.
Well, what you're doing to rent the building is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I want to know who in TNA's idea this was to rent the Alamo Dome, because it's a waste of money.
All right. This is where I'm posing a question to Kane Kinsler, Tara, because he was in Arizona, where Bound for Glory was taking place. Do you remember how much tickets were for Bound for Glory, by any chance? Because this goes back, we'll go to the point I'm going to try to make. In a second, what does I wait for him to remember if he did or not? Because there's a slight delay on the player, you know, and then him hearing it and trying to remember what they're talking about. 15 to 20 on the low end, okay.
What was the high end?
Yeah, what was the high end, like ringside? Do you remember what ringside were, by chance? Because that's the point where I'm going to try to make. 60s to 75 high end, okay. Well, here you go. Ringside ticket was $125.
Oh, it's higher than that.
I know, it goes up to 150.
I was going to say.
But I'm saying it's $141, but with all your, you know, taxes and whatever, for a ringside ticket that I was able to find last night.
That's how they're trying to make their money back. They're raising their ticket prices.
I just don't get it. And by looking at Ticketmaster, it looks like they sold some seats. Some. Unless they didn't put those on sale yet. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. I don't use Ticketmaster often, so I don't know how that all
works. If it's blocked off, they're either sold or they're not used, but it's, or they haven't been released, but it doesn't tell you which. They're not available, so let's give the happy thought and assume that those are sold.
So they sold a few hundred, a couple hundred tickets already. Maybe.
For $150, Kane Kittens better get a meal off of Velvet Sky. For $150, I better be able to take James Storm home with me.
Take a wrestler home night here at TNA Wrestling. No, you don't get anything but just sitting ringside for $150.
Yeah, the meet and greet, the Fan Fest, is separate.
Yeah.
They've adapted WWE's model where you pay to get in Fan Fest, and then I don't know if you still have to pay to get pictures with the wrestlers or not. I don't think you do. But, yeah, you pay for the meet and greets completely separately. But... yeah, there you go, Kane Kittens. $150, lockdown and a fishing trip with EY and ODB. I'm calling that a win.
Yeah.
But it's...
All right, well, go ahead.
I was going to say, and we're going to show you the scarier thing is, do you still have the pay-per-view poster?
I'll get the pay-per-view poster in a second.
Okay. Well, he's getting the pay-per-view poster. If you haven't seen it, because another thing that we were talking about, at least here on Wild Talk Radio, was, well, they're going to have a name. They're going to have a star come in and work the show to draw the show if they're working the Alamo Dome, because they can't bank on the guys that they already have.
Right.
You know, the, in truth be told, you have really only one. You have Angle, you have Hardy, you have, excuse me, Hogan, you have Sting, and you have a couple, Bully Ray, who's a little bit lower down, that's not on that same level, that could, you know, potentially draw the Alamo Dome. Do you have it yet?
Yeah, it's up on the screen.
Yeah, as you can see on your screen, and for those listening to the archive, the man that is prominently featured and appears to be the one that they're banking on drawing for lockdown is the one, the only, the Hulkster himself, Hulk Hogan, brother.
Brother. Oh, man. Yes, I'm having fun with the tool still, as I wrote brother on the screen.
Rock's playing with the teleprompter. He has a new toy.
He has a toy tonight. It works. By the way, for Kane Gins, we'll get this reference. If I'm done on the telestrator, I say, boom!
Well, King Kittens wants to know if you got yourself a Madden Strader for Christmas.
And that, yeah, that ties in with the boom.
Okay.
That's what John Madden would say. Boom.
But,
see, you got
this. Doesn't support TNA. This hurts my head. I hope to God this is successful. I hope to God that they can put in more seating. I hope for something, but honestly, I'm sitting here looking at it. Hogan is not the draw he was 5 years ago.
Not even Brett Favre could fill that stadium, brother.
Nope.
There's your Brett Favre reference.
You would have to convince Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, and Steve Austin to all appear in that stadium to even consider selling it out.
Okay, you can bring in all the AAA wrestlers you want, and I get that. Cool, you're gonna get a lot of Mexican fans to show up. Great, that's tremendous, but
the point is you could have gone somewhere else and still done that. Like you said, Tommy, they could have rented the Freeman Coliseum
right. And
probably filled that, and it would have still looked good. Because here's the thing, we can't even figure out how the hell they're going to do the wide shot, because they can't.
Right, yeah, that was the other point I was going to bring up is, let's go back to the Telestrator. As we do the Telestrator here on the Wild Talk Radio Network tonight, when you do look at the wide shot, you go, where is, you know, how are you going to block off the rest of this building?
They're going to get the record for the largest tarp off in history.
That must be what they're trying to do, because you got to draw, you got to find a way to, you know, block all of this off from the public eye. And I don't know how you do it without making yourself look really pathetic. And that's a problem. It's a big problem they have.
Yeah.
You gotta make this building seem like it's a big deal, but at the same time you're closing off the specialness. See, that's the problem we were wondering exactly how they would set it up. Yeah, let's go off of this one. See if we can maneuver some things around here.
The only thing that we can figure in looking at the photo is the way they've got the seating set up for this right now is that the hard cameras are going to go on the sides. The side where there is no seating. where it's just the floor seating, and then you've got, they're probably either going to set up, I don't know, scaffolding or something to put the hard cameras on. That's the only thing I can think of, but...
We have a different view of it. We have the actual Ticketmaster view of it, as you can see on your screen right now. Here's the ring. Here's how they have the setup, where they have the ring set up, right here. And it's like, where do you go from there? Where do you put the entrance? Do you put it in the empty space up here, above B, C, and D?
Yeah, that's the other thing, is trying to figure out how they're going to all logistically do this. And the only thing I can hope is that isn't the actual seating map. I have a really funny feeling it is, but I'm kind of hoping that they're actually going to be smart about this and center the ring and tarp off the edges.
No, that's where it is. This is how it's set up.
Oh, Jesus.
Because if you go to Ticketmaster and you're for the Alamo Dome, like I was doing last night as we were going through this, it clearly lists TNA Wrestling. For the seating chart. This is a custom seating chart for TNA.
I'm with Kane Kittens. This is a nightmare. This is not even... Like I said, I want to know whose idea this was, because they need to be slapped hard. And I will give TNA credit. For 10 years, they should be working... buildings like this should be able to fill a 20,000, at least 20,000 seats in that building. No problem.
At this point, 10 years in, they should be working this entire building, and they should just be tarping off the upper decks.
They should.
You should be able to fill out the lower bowl, at least the first two levels of the dome.
And as it stands right now, they're barely filling a fifth of it. It looks like a logistical nightmare, and it looks like a financial nightmare. I have a really funny feeling. Those seats that are blocked off, they're not sold. They're holding them.
Till later on in the year, yeah.
Till later on in the year, they've released a limited number of seats to see how they're going to do and see how they're going to sell. Because there's no way they've sold that many seats that quickly.
No, there can't be. Especially ringside. No one's paying that price. No one. Because no one pays that price now. They don't. When they get 500 people into a house show, you barely hear them. It's last day sales that tickets go on. They really sell. So they've only sold one section right here. They have sections opened up for ringside. Everything else is still... not available yet.
The only thing I can figure is that they're selling a limited number of seats to test the market, and then maybe they pull out. But at this stage, I don't know if they can.
You can. They've ran the building. They've made their announcement. You would think if they were doing so well, there would have been some sort of announcement of good ticket sales. Has there been? No.
No, which means they're not selling, which means TNA is going to take a bath on this event.
Because tickets have been on sale for a week. And I can't see them selling all these tickets for ringside at this point.
Not for $150.
No, the range is $70 to $141 on the floor, according to the one section.
Which means they're going to paper the crap out of the floor seats.
Yep. It's not going to be the big success they're hoping for. It's going to be a minor success, and that's going to be the biggest problem TNA has at this point.
They're going to be lucky if it's a success.
WWE loses money on pay-per-view events because when they bring in the big talent. And even then, they're still able to make money. But the only reason they only start to lose some money, or not make a big profit, is when they bring in their big star, they heavily promote the event, and it costs more money. Survivor Series in 2011, when The Rock came back, it was not as big of a success as they thought it would be, because they had to spend more in advertising for The Rock.
Yeah.
But that event still made money. Same goes with SummerSlam this past year, when they brought in Brock Lesnar. It made money. The buy rate was up. but the profit was down because of the advertising. When you go for TNA here, you better start the promotion, and you better just go with, okay, it's going to be a loss, but if we can promote the fuck out of it, we may be able to break even. And that's all you gotta do with this event. You gotta break even. And you gotta get your talent out there and start promoting it starting January 1st.
They need to heavily promote that in the local market.
Yes. And then once they do the local market, then they gotta go national, because then you gotta get people. The only way you're gonna cover the cost, you gotta get people out and buy the pay-per-view. People are going to have to spend the $40 to buy this pay-per-view. And that's how you're going to make your money back, by buying the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
We're really positive about TNA on this show. It's what we do. It's because we really enjoy the product. And it's not knocking the product. This is knocking the business.
This is us knocking the business decision. Like Rock said, I wish TNA was on WWE's level. I'm dreaming when I wish that, but I wish they were a genuine competition for WWE. I wish they were giving Vince a run for their money, because honestly, with what they're doing right now, if TNA had more attention, they could. TNA is the alternate to WWE's PG environment. They put on a solid, good product with quality wrestlings, logical storylines, and everything is at minimum better than just going through the motions. Everybody take a shot.
Yes. But and here's the thing. If you look at the talent on the roster, you have names. Hulk Hogan.
Ken Anderson, Jeff Hardy. Bully Ray. Bubba Ray. Hell, D-Von. Kurt Angle.
But just think about it. You have Jeff Hardy, who, 3 years ago, was at his peak. His highest point. He was selling out. He was the reason SmackDown was drawing the highest ratings it was getting. Jeff Hardy was the man. He went to TNA, and he hasn't moved a number. It just goes to show you what type of marketing. You can say what you want about WWE and Raw and SmackDown and the storylines and whatever. The one thing WWE does better than anybody else on the planet, they're a marketing machine. They can get their people over to the masses. They can get their product out there. If you watch any USA Network show, you either see a commercial for them, or at the bottom left-hand corner, Raw, Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern.
But John Cena's face right there.
Not even John Cena's face. It's just in the white, right at the bottom left, throughout every show. Raw.
Yeah. And that's always been TNA's weakness, is marketing. They have never been strong in it, and they have never really put... they put effort towards it, but they don't have the money to do what WWE does.
But you don't need the money WWE does. You gotta start by buying advertising. You can get, you want to spend money. You have to spend money to make money. So if you spend money to advertise your product, then what you do is you get more advertising for your product. You get more sponsorships for your product to even it out. Because more sponsors will want to come in to your product if there's more eyes on it.
And they're starting to. They're starting to get sponsors, at least, which is a good sign. It means they're starting to pull in extra income, which means maybe we'll see more commercials and more marketing and that kind of thing.
Right, because you can bring in every WWE star you possibly can, but you're still getting $1.2 million people every single week because you're not growing your audience.
Well, here's the thing. You can bring in every major WWE superstar. They had Kevin Nash at one point. And I grant it, Kevin Nash is past his prime, but they had Kevin Nash. He's a fairly large name, and they've had him a couple times. Nobody knew he was there.
Wasn't the story when he was coming back at the Rumble? So when are we going to see you back in wrestling? I've been in TNA wrestling for the past 4 years.
Yeah.
Oops. It's
if you don't tell people about your product, they're not going to know to watch it. And I'm sorry, Twitter is not enough, because the only people that follow you on Twitter are the people that already watch you. They need to advertise. You need to get your commercials out there. And it has to be more than just on Spike. It has to be more than just at the bottom of the cable listing when you're going through the TV
guide.
TV guide, thank you, to decide what you want to watch. You need to put your product out there. You need to have commercials. WWE doesn't necessarily have to advertise anymore because they're a household name. When you say world, when you say wrestling, people automatically think of WWE.
Correct.
They don't need to advertise anymore, but they still do. TNA is not necessarily, they're not a household name. You say TNA and, like, honestly, I say TNA and my mom thinks it's porn.
That's why Hulk Hogan wanted the name changed to Impact Wrestling.
Right. Which is fine. I have no problem with that. You know, rebranding your product, that's great. Impact Wrestling, fine. No problem. But you've got to get it out there.
And that's always been their biggest problem. And will continue to be.
Yeah, I mean, you need, instead of taking money and renting the Alamo Dome, which costs an arm and a leg, I'm sure, you could, take that money and you put it into advertising.
You could have rented a lower tier building and spent the rest on promoting the pay-per-view. Kane Kansas is telling us in our chat room there was not one commercial. And he's 30 minutes away from where the pay-per-view was held at Bound for Glory.
Oh, yeah. I would believe it when, and he said it, if WWE is in Phoenix, they have enough media coverage that they, that he actually thinks that they're in town, and he's in Tucson, I believe.
Right.
So, you know, and the same thing is anywhere you go. When you're watching, sitting there watching Raw, or you're watching SmackDown, and they're coming to your area, they'll actually, in the local markets, play the commercial, hey, Raw's gonna be here on such and such date, or SmackDown's gonna be here on such and such date, or we're doing a house show. Here's where tickets go on. This is when the tickets are on sale, or they're already on sale. Go to Ticketmaster.com and buy them.
Exactly. That's what they do. It's how WWE promotes their events. They put out you know, commercials and stuff, and it works.
Yeah, and that's how they sell their tickets. TNA, you know, great. They advertise on their television show. They tell you where they're going to be. Fantastic. Except there's one problem. They're not doing it in the local markets that I've seen.
All right, here's an example of the WWE commercial.
Coming to New York City. Live event where the action is this intense, where superstars are this close, and where you can experience it all. It's the Raw Holiday Tour, and all the stars will be there. See John Cena, CM Punk, and Alberto Del Rio battle in a triple threat steel cage match for the WWE Championship. It's the Raw Holiday Tour live in New York City, December 27th. Tickets on sale now. WWE tickets make great holiday gifts.
Wait, what was that match again? CM Punk, John Cena, and Alberto Del Rio for the WWE title in a cage?
Card subject to change.
But I'm just saying, on the 27th, that's an odd commercial. Yeah, it's going to be changed, but just, oh god, that's a terrible feud. Anyway, I was just thinking about that as a three-way. Ooh.
Yeah.
Anyway, by the way, that was a pay-per-view main event in a cell. Now it's going to be a house show match in a cage. Anyway, point being, a 30-second spot, that's all you need. You don't need, it doesn't even need, here, we'll even go even one better. RF Video is having Kelly, here for signing this weekend. How do I know this? One, I see it on Facebook. And two, every time I'm watching Raw, for the last 3 weeks, there's been a commercial for Kelly appearing at Dave & Buster's here in Philadelphia. What catches your eyes? They play Kelly's music. That's always, every time I hear it, wait, it's Kelly. You hear the music. It's not the greatest commercial. It's just little you have footage playing in the background with words and a voiceover by Rob Feinstein. That's all you need. Doesn't need to be high class production. Just tell us you're coming. Tell us where to watch your shows. That's all you need.
Yeah. Just tell us how to find you and we will follow.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just the whole thing is ridiculous, and I'm sorry to say, it's laughable. I'm sorry. I just looked at this and my heart just sank, because with all the good TNA has done, especially this year, as far as turning the product around, they got a writing staff in there that know what they're doing. They're putting out a great product. Then they're going to go and they're going to do something stupid like this. And they're going to rent a building that they can't fill a fifth of it. If this sells out, I will be shocked.
If it legitimately sells out, yeah, I'm totally shocked.
And I hate saying that, because I want it to sell out. I want this to succeed just to shut people like us up. Just to shut the doubters up. And the haters and everybody. But honestly, Bound for Glory only did 2,700 people. We know that.
Supposedly.
Did 2,700 people.
Right.
There's no way.
In another awkward transition, John Cena, when I say this, actor, musician, wrestler. I don't think that's the order you should say his name in, but it's what they did for Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. Anyway.
Eh.
He's
if you think about it, he really is more of an actor now than a wrestler.
But I wanted to say musician. Oh.
Hey, you know what? He put out an album. Therefore, that makes him a musician.
By the way, he shows up everywhere in his gear, even out to dinner with AJ. For Jimmy Fallon, he puts on a suit.
That should have been the key right there for the day with AJ. Nothing was going on. He didn't even bother to not wear his good clothes.
He dresses up more for Jimmy Fallon than he would AJ. Anyway, speaking of divas, there's your transition, Lindsay.
Well done. WWE recently held a focus group where they talked to folks about the Divas division and what people thought of it and what they wanted to see the Divas doing. Whether they wanted to see them wrestling, dancing, being managers, being involved in love triangles. Basically what we wanted to see with Divas. Had they asked me, I would have said blow the division up and just get rid of them. And I believe that was actually an option. Not the blow up part, but get rid of it. And the rumor is that WWE is going to attempt to revitalize and revive the division in 2013 and try to bring it back. That they do recognize the fact that the golden age of the Divas division is gone and they have to do something. Yeah, we've said it before and we'll say it again on the show. Take the girls that know how to wrestle and let them wrestle. Take the models and have them be valets, have them be in love triangles, have them be fluff, but don't have them in the ring.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Now, I was thinking of this today, of a way to, you know, change up the Divas division. And, you know, the typical answer everyone says when you talk about Divas division, bathroom break.
Right.
The one way to reinvent, revive, you know, re-energize the Divas division is to get us care about the characters involved in the Divas division. Give us a backstory on the ladies. Tell us more about them. Show them training to be a competitor. You know what would be great? You know what? How over Eve Torres would be? How over Eve Torres would be with the male crowd if they actually showed her what she, how she actually trains. Because she does, I believe, jiu-jitsu training.
Yeah, she can do MMA. I thought she, they did do that with her feud with Maurice.
Did they?
Yeah, they did. They brought her boyfriend in, at the time now her fiancé, and showed them training together.
But they gotta do more of that, because I don't even remember that. Because that was probably on SmackDown.
Maybe. I just remember it, because then Maurice tried to do it as well, and she failed.
John Cena distracted me, sorry. He's responding to Ziggler's tweet about him running. He says he stands and fights. Anyway, but yeah, do more of that.
Of course you do, Princess. Of course you do.
Just
anyway,
do more. Yeah, I should not have the channel on. It's distracting me.
Stop looking at him.
I'm not looking.
Looks like a soul.
I'm not looking. I'm listening. That's the thing. I should have changed the channel.
Mute the Cena.
I will, if I could find that remote. Anyway, my point was, do more of that. Focus more on the characters. Eve Torres would get over if you showed her training. She would be the kick-ass diva that people would get behind and go, holy crap, I want to see her fight now. Then you find her, you know, you build Tamina up as the big badass chick who just destroys everybody. And then you have Eve Torres as the girl, you know, the fighter who can actually take down the big bad Tamina. What kind of, that would be a great feud. If you built the characters. Give us a reason to care about the characters. That's the only way. No matter who you bring in, no matter how much you train them, you gotta give us a reason to care. That's what we can say. That's what we've been saying about for everything. Because the one thing we don't care, the reason why we lose interest on Raw is we just don't care about the characters on the program. If you actually gave two shits about the people on the show, we would be invested. And that's the problem. If you want to reinvent this Divas division, make us care.
Yeah. One of the reasons I think AJ was so over this summer, and she's still over, is because they gave us a reason to care about her.
They gave her a character. Think about where she was last year at this time. She was the second to Daniel Bryan. She was his girlfriend. Simple. Since that point, she has evolved into one of the best characters on television since the last 4 weeks.
And one of the most relevant divas they've had in at least, what?
5 years.
At least 5 years.
Because Kelly, not relevant. Kelly, fine for what she was. She was the attractive diva that the girls got, the little girls got behind. Awesome. And that's what she was used for. Great. She was great for PR. Great. But she was not mainstream relevant. AJ was featured in the New York, Daily News or New York Post or something?
Yeah, one of the big papers up there.
When was the last time you can say that a diva was actually featured? It's been forever. There's something special about AJ, and the thing is, they gave her time, they gave her focus, and they gave her a reason to care about the character. That's why she got over. That's why, you know, we enjoyed the character. And they're getting back to that by taking her away from Cena and making her more of the crazy chick. Awesome.
Which, by the way, I applaud.
Right. It's getting us back to what we liked.
Making her weak and inept just really kind of sucked. But taking her back to the crazy chick, yes, please do.
If you make her, they were trying to make her into a girl. She's not a girl. She's a tomboy. There's a difference.
I mean, she even said it in an interview where she's not the sexy chick.
She said it in that article.
Yeah, she's not the sexy chick. She's the geeky chick. She's the tomboy.
And that's why everyone got behind her.
I mean, for me as a girl, for me as a woman, I should say, I can relate more to AJ than I can Kelly.
Right.
Just, you know, just being a geek and being short and kind of being a little weird and dorky and on the outside and not being that popular girl. I can understand AJ where she's coming from, and I can relate to her.
The best comment you made about AJ was her getting in the ring facing Tamina, and that you said, that's how I would go after Tamina.
Exactly.
You could see yourself in her, and that's why people care. She's the girl, you know, she can go in the ring, but she does so many other things. It's why people care about her. And that's how you build it. You gotta get people to care. We cared about AJ, we're gonna continue to care about AJ because they gave us time to. When you throw out the divas like Alicia Fox that we don't care about, who have changed gimmicks 1,000 times since she's been in the company, we don't care.
Yeah, it's... At least, and if they're trying to focus more on the female audience and you want to bring the women to the divas division, it's like Rock said, give us a reason to care, but also give us a way to see ourselves in these women. Because you know what? The average American woman is not 5'9", skinny as a stick, and blonde. We're just not. I'm sorry. Sure, AJ is 5'2", and she's skinny as a stick, but she's not anorexic.
As a matter of fact, she's put on more weight since she's been there, and that's been, since, you know, in the last year, and that was by choice.
Yeah, and that was by choice. It makes sense. AJ looks normal. She looks like a wrestler should. You know, she shouldn't be stocky, because she's short. She's built petite.
Here's the better way to put it. She's the gettable girl. Rather than the unattainable girl.
Right. She's not the bikini model.
Exactly.
You know, it's like you look at women like Beth Phoenix and you look at women like Tamina. That, yeah, they're not skinny in the diva sense, but they're built like an average woman. They're built with meat on their bones, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
I always thought Beth and I think Tamina are both beautiful women. I actually had a little bit of a girl crush on Beth, but that's neither here nor there. Same thing with Natty.
Right.
Natty's not the thinnest girl in the world, but she's more stocky, but she's still not fat or obese or anything like that. I've seen her in person, and she's gorgeous.
She is. And that's the thing. She's the people we enjoy the most are the people that aren't, you know, the flashiest girls. They're the ones and I'm not trying to dog on Kelly because she was great at what she did, and that, you know, she had her role and she filled it perfectly. She did what WWE wanted, and that's fine. But we just never cared about her character because there's never we never bought into what the story they were selling with her is the point I'm trying to make. We never
and
believed
also,
in her.
Yeah, and also I think it was for every Kelly, every other diva was like her. Nothing about them stands out.
Right, for the longest time you had a Candice Michelle, you had a Tori Wilson, you had a Kelly. They
you
all
had Lita.
Were
Lita.
Who was that?
You had Lita.
But Lita on her but we cared about Lita because she was different.
Right. But that's the thing is looking at my point is that we care about the different ones.
Right.
We don't care about the ones that are all the same.
Right. Yeah, I was going Candice Michelle, Kelly. They're their tops. They were the girls you can just replace, and they did for the longest time. They just brought them in and out. You didn't know who they were. They were just a revolving door. When you have characters you can relate with, why do you think people got into interest in Karma? Because she was different than all the rest. Then 95% of the WWE audience had no idea who Amazing Kong was. But when they saw her promo packages, they responded because she was different. When she came out, she was not the typical diva.
Nope. And she dropped Michelle McCool on her face, which made me laugh.
Well, yeah, well, you would enjoy that.
Yeah. But that's for completely different reasons.
That's for completely different reasons, and we're not going to get into it right now. because that'll defeat the purpose of this conversation.
Right.
But, yeah, that's the thing. If we get more believable characters, that's how you reinvent this division. And that's how you reinvent WWE. That's how you save the company. You give us characters we can believe in, because that's the only way.
Yeah, I mean, it's... And this... I have to agree. This goes for all the company. We don't care about any of the characters, save for a select few. It's like, even... I'd cheer for Wade, I'd cheer for Drew, and I'd cheer for Sheamus, but... You know, if they're not on or they're not there, I don't really care.
Right.
Because I'm not really that emotionally invested in the characters. It's like, I love Kane and I love Daniel Bryan, and I'm actually disappointed when I don't see them or I don't get them as much as I want, because I'm emotionally invested in them.
Right.
And especially Daniel Bryan now.
And a year ago, you couldn't say that about Daniel Bryan.
No, a year ago I could give two fucks about Daniel Bryan. Now I care about him.
Because he was the guy, he was just a wrestler then.
Yeah, well, he was the guy that, oh, he's never going to go anywhere in this company, and I'll look at him.
And then he won the world title, and he skyrocketed in the last year as one of the best characters on our program. I'm going to transition a little bit. Why do you think we like the character ODB and Eric Young so much? Because they're different, they're relatable, and they're interesting.
Yep.
That's why they're over. Why is Brooke Tessmacher not over? Because she's just the standard girl character you've seen. There's no real character behind it.
She's more about the tits and ass.
Exactly. And there's nothing wrong with tits and ass. Not a damn thing.
No, there's not. But it's, if you want me to like her, if you want me to relate to her, if you want me to look at her and say, I see myself in this girl, you've got to give me a reason to. You've got to find that. It's like ODB. We all can relate to ODB on some level. We can all relate to Eric Young. We can all relate to AJ. You know, it's just, they've got to find that connection, and they just, I don't know if it's that they can't or that they won't. It's like the same thing goes true for Zack Ryder. Yeah, he's silly, he's goofy, he's a gimmick, but you know what? At the end of the day, he's an average guy from Jersey.
Yeah.
You know, he's the Joe Schmo, and we can all see ourselves in that.
He's the average guy who never gets the girl.
Right.
Who sings the Justin Bieber cut songs and, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But it's like the same thing with even Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler is another one that we all see ourselves in some capacity. He's that cocky guy that stood you up for a date. He's that bully in school who was a jackass to you. He's, you know, you see people that are in your life.
You know a Dolph Ziggler. You know a Dolph Ziggler.
Right.
You know a Zack Ryder. That's why the people care. You know who a Dolph Ziggler is. There's someone you've known either in high school or college or whatever. You know, you've worked with. You know a Dolph Ziggler. You know a Zack Ryder, that type of person. Now, it doesn't have to be, you know, the spike your hair and, you know, big all-out tan, whatever. But you know that type of guy. And that's why they get over. Can't say you know a Kane, because there's only one Kane, and, well, you know. But the point being is, the people you get in, there's a reason why people like Dolph Ziggler and Zack Ryder got over with a lot of the fans for a while, is because they were relatable.
Well, even with Kane, he's that crazy loner.
There you go. That's a perfect way to say you have a Kane. Yeah, crazy loner.
Same thing with Taker. He's that crazy loner. He's that emo kid in class. He's that gothic kid. You know, same thing with Kane. He's the crazy kid. Because we all have a crazy kid. We all know that crazy kid. Trust me.
And why did Stone Cold Steve Austin get over? Because he was the guy telling the boss off. That's the biggest story behind Steve Austin. He was telling the boss, and they tell you all the time, everybody wanted to tell their boss or teacher off at that point in time. And Stone Cold Steve Austin was the guy.
Yep.
And that's why, beyond whatever else they did in the Attitude Era, that's why people cared. Because you saw something in Austin. You saw that guy you could relate to. The beer-swilling redneck who told his boss off. Simple as that. And that's how you get over it. That's how characters... People related to The Rock. He was cocky. He was a cocky asshole. People related to him. Mick Foley. He was that, you know... He was the guy who got beat up all the time, and he always came right back. You believed him. He was the fighter, the comeback guy. People would get behind him. And then he turned goofy, and everyone got behind him. Edge and Christian, people got behind them. You know, you could because they were the class clowns. You got behind. You knew class clowns.
Yeah, it's, and that's the biggest thing I think you can take away from the Attitude Era and that time frame is people cared. That's what made it successful, is people cared. Now, your ratings are dropping because people don't care. It's not because there are other things on TV. And that's partially to it. You know, there are other things on TV. There are other things, there's football on TV. But the reason why people are tuning into those kinds of things is because they don't care. It's not that same atmosphere with the Divas and with Raw where it's, I can't miss this show for the life of me. I don't know what's going to happen. I have to watch it. Like, we all had that phase when we were growing up and we were watching wrestling where it's, I can't miss it. I have to see it every week or I'm not going to know what's going to happen.
Right.
Now it's, oh, I can DVR it. Or for me, it's like, oh, well, it's going to be on at 9 because I'm on a 3-hour delay. So, for me, a lot of times, I don't see the first 20 minutes of Raw until right before the Raw post show because I'm usually doing something else the first 20 minutes of Raw. And I'm not even kidding on that.
No, she's not.
And that goes for any part of Raw. I'm sitting there actually watching Raw on my television during the post show. And I usually pay attention to it up until the point where we catch it in the broadcast on the post show, and then we go beyond it, and then I don't really care anymore. Because by that point, I've seen most of the show.
Right.
But the first part of Raw, I usually don't watch, because it's, you know what, I'll catch it later. There's House Hunters, there's Love It or List It, there's football, there's, you know, whatever. It's like...
They gotta make you care, and that's the biggest thing. That's how you save the Divas, that's how you save Raw. You gotta give us the care. Give us people we can care about. And you cared about DX because they were a bunch of degenerates telling, you know, they were pulling pranks, they were telling people to suck it.
They were telling their boss off.
They were telling their boss off. And having fun doing it. They were the class clowns. That's why
and
I
they were running around without pants. Yes, I'm referring to the Christmas moment where they went out there in Santa thongs, and that was awesome.
Santa never looked so good.
Oh. He didn't. He really didn't.
See, I remember lines from that promo. So yeah, I think we burnt that topic out.
Yeah, I think we burnt that topic out. And if you disagree with us, all thoughts and opinions can be sent to media@wildtalkradio.com.
You talk for a minute, and I'm going to get something to drink, because if you really need me, I'm going to need some voice. So, you know, talk up the show a minute. Talk up TLC a minute.
Okay, so, yeah, oh, crap. We still have to do Pick'em for TLC.
Yeah, we do. So talk up the show, and I'll be right back in 30 seconds.
Holy crap. Okay, well, we're going to run a little bit over tonight, folks, because, yeah, we went a little long on that topic. But, so, yeah, TLC is this Sunday, and the crowd went meh. All rights and privileges go to Mace on that one. Hi, Mace! We miss you. I hope to God your travel woes get better going to and from work. But, yes, yeah, so we have... And I'm trying to pull up the replay as I... Or, I'm sorry, replay God. Match listing as I sit here and talk, and of course my Firefox wants to lock up on me.
Which is always helpful when you really need it.
Yeah, it's like, would you please...
Work,
please
work, someone, please work. Oh, holy crap, will it work, please, maybe? Hurry, work. Alright, so we have TLC announced. for this coming week, this Sunday. Send all. You did the whole spiel how to send picks, right?
No, I didn't do the spiel, sorry. If you would like to participate in our Pick'em program, yes, we have an official little contest we do here on WildTalkRadio.com where you can pick the winners of the pay-per-view matches, and you sometimes win a prize, which everybody should have gotten theirs by now. If you haven't, I'm sorry, the UPS or the postal system is very slow.
But if you have gotten your prizes,
Friday.
If you got your prizes, please tell us, because that's kind of awesome. We want to make sure you got your prizes.
I know Jersey Girl got hers. I know Chris got his. And I haven't heard on the last one.
Tommy got his.
Okay, so Tommy got his? Okay.
Kane Kittens needs to check his office.
Yeah, Kane Kittens, I did send yours Friday. I'm so sorry it took me so forever long to do that, but I hate my post office and I hate going into it.
Alright, so everyone's getting their prizes. It's awesome.
Yeah, they're in the mail. They've been sent. If you haven't got it, go yell at your local postal worker.
Okay. So I have the card in front of me.
Well, let me finish telling them how they can enter.
Okay, right.
So, if you're listening to the show live and you want to be a part of our Pick'em contest, unfortunately, we have no prize this week, but you will get a shout-out and you get bragging rights for the week. That's the prize. Yay!
No, the prize is, if you win, you can come onto WTR and tell your best Tim Stein joke.
Oh, now you're just teasing Kane Kitten. That's because he's not eligible to win.
Yes, he is.
Oh, he is eligible to win.
Yeah, he's eligible to win. Catherine's the one. He's not a win.
Okay. All right.
So if you win, Kane Kittens, you can come on WTR and tell your best Tim Stein joke.
We'll let you run roughshod at Tim for 5 minutes. How about that?
I don't think you'll get 5 minutes. You might get 30 seconds.
Well, you control a phone call, not him. So, but anyway, so if you want to enter, if you're listening live right now, either on wildtalkradio.com or pwmania.com, come on over to wildtalkradio.com. Click on the fancy-dancy chat button, not the live button, the chat button, and come on into our chat. You can either put a name in or you can put in just the generic name that it gives you, up to you, and pick along with us as we go through the card. Or, if you're listening in the archive, which thank you so much, you can send your picks either to @KaneKittens or KaneKittens@WildTalkRadio.com or media@WildTalkRadio.com. We will record those. We will get those to Kane Kittens, and he will put them in for Sunday night.
Yes.
And you have up till Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon sometime.
Sunday afternoon sometime. Pay attention to the Twitters and the Facebooks. We'll let you know when the cutoff is.
Yes.
You do your pick'em, and you can change your mind as many times as you want up until then, but for Kane Kitten's sanity, please be nice.
Yes. Be nice. Don't do it 25 times, but if you want to change your mind, just send him an email and he'll correct it on the sheet.
Yes. So that being said, let's run down the card.
Okay. Our pre-show match. Santa's Helpers, number one contenders, Divas Battle Royal.
That's the other thing, if you want us to take the Divas seriously. Who has the Divas title?
Eve.
Okay.
Just going by the picture, we have Layla, Alicia Fox, Rosa Mendez, Caitlin, and Tamina. You could probably throw Natty in there. That's probably about it for the six Diva Battle Royal. So,
is AJ in it?
AJ might be in it, maybe, probably. So there's another person. So who's your number one contender, Lindsay?
The concession stand?
After that long discussion, no, you can't pick that.
Damn it.
Apparently AJ was pulled from the match, apparently.
Okay, so AJ was pulled from the match. I'll go with Caitlin?
I'm going to go with Layla. Hopefully you and Jerem pulled over there. Oh, here we go. You have Layla Natty, Alicia Fox, Caitlin, Tamina Snuck, and Rosa Mendez, Oksana, Cameron, and Naomi. It would make sense to actually go into the full thing and not just go by the picture. Would always help. Or they could just, you know, list them out there in front. Up next, it is a tables match, I believe. We have Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara taking on Team Road Scholars.
Road Scholars.
Yeah, I gotta go with Road Scholars and the mustache, because, you know, that's trending worldwide every single day. Probably not, but, you know, it should be.
It's actually said that Cody's mustache is more over than Cody.
Yeah, it is. It really is more over than Cody Rhodes is at this point. Up next, United States Championship is on the line when Antonio Cesaro defends against R-Truth.
I'm going with Cesaro.
I agree. Cesaro. Simple as that. It's you know, it's a no-brainer. He's the one they're pushing. R-Truth is not.
Yeah.
Intercontinental Championship is on the line. Wade Barrett, Kofi Kingston.
I'm going to go, as much as I hate it, with Kofi.
Why?
I say that Wade Barrett wins it at the Rumble. Just because it's a throwaway pay-per-view and they've already said that they're not going to change any titles.
Okay.
So, I say Kofi.
Wade Barrett. Because they'll eventually change their mind and go, oh look, Wade Barrett needs a title.
It'd be more impactful if they did it at the Rumble. Just saying.
My guess is, you know what, it's gonna be Kofi Kingston and Wade Barrett wins the title on a Raw.
Probably, yeah.
The World Heavyweight Championship Chairs Match, Big Show takes on the Sheamus.
I say the Big Show wins.
Yeah, Big Show. Big Show keeps the belt. And this should not be your main event. Just saying. Even if some people, Tim Stein, believe it should.
Yeah, this is not going to be a main event. If you have any guess what your main event is going to be, look at Monday Night Raw. Look at Ziggler Cena. That's going to go on last.
Well, the way they have it listed here, the main event is something else. But because up next, it's Money in the Bank contract on the line, ladder match, Dolph Ziggler and John Cena.
I'm praying to the wrestling gods and all that is holy.
So you're praying to JBL?
I'm praying to JBL that Ziggler retains.
Yeah, I gotta go with Ziggler. Yeah, just... We went and we booked so many scenarios, and it's like, we came up with reasons why John Cena is the perfect choice to win this match last night, and it's like, I still don't want to see it. Because you can get John Cena to win the thing, and you can have him feud with, you know, because with Randy Orton being hurt, which was our number one story of the week, you have Randy Orton being hurt, so you need someone to go on SmackDown to be the face of SmackDown. Who better than the face of WWE? You have John Cena as the face of WWE. Have him on SmackDown more often. Have him being feud for a world title. Have him be the world champion. Have him cash in and win the world title on Raw, then be on SmackDown for the next 6 weeks leading up to Rumble. Because you don't need John Cena to be the focus of Raw anymore for the next few weeks in January. Why is that, Lindsay?
Shouldn't we be smelling what somebody's cooking?
Exactly. That guy, the actor, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, will be on Monday Night Raw starting January 7th. So, you know, his main focus is CM Punk. So, you know.
Oh my god, the Black Friday commercials for Target are back, except now they're Finisher List commercials. God damn it! I thought I was done with those. Another thing that needs to die a burning fiery death. Anyway, I'm sorry, continue.
That segment's in about 5 minutes from now. Hold it. Just hold it in.
Hold it in.
Just hold it in. Because, you know, we got to get through what's bugging us in a few minutes.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going with Ziggler. You're going with Ziggler.
Yes.
Which means it's going to be John Cena. We're all going, oh, fuck, on Sunday. And then as they have listed, Team Hell No and the Ryback take on the Shield in tables, ladders, and chairs.
I'm still sticking with my choice and going with no contest.
Explain that.
Because it's going to win, they have to win by pinfall. They're not fighting for anything. I say this gets started and they never ring the bell because they're going to do this stupidly and they're going to have it start in the ring. So they're going to start it outside the ring and then it's just going to be ruled a no contest and the Shield takes out Ryback and Hell No. That's just my thought process behind it. That or throughout the night, the Shield is going to take out Dan O'Brien and or Kane, and they're going to leave Ryback on his own, and then they're going to kick his ass, and the match is just never going to start.
See, I could see the scenario where Kane and Dan O'Brien are taken out, and then they finally return the favor and make the save for Ryback.
I can see that, but you need to keep the Shield looking strong.
Oh, no, I'm just saying they still make the save, then they still come on to lose again. But I'm saying, you know, Ryback's getting beat down, yada, yada, yada. Here comes Kane, down your mind. You have the, you know, the big brawl and whatever. And the match continues on, and then as I'm going, the Shield wins. Because they need to win their first match out, because that's been my whole reasoning for the last 3 weeks. They have to win their first match.
Yeah.
Because it's to look strong. Because if you lose your first match out and you're three new guys, it's like, again, back to the whole caring thing. Why do we care about the Shield? Because they're different.
Yep. And what's the point if they can't even
go
win?
No, go ahead.
I was just saying, what's the point of them if they can't even win?
Right. They're not the NWO. They're not the Nexus. They're three guys making a name for themselves. So, you know, it would make sense for them to win a match.
Exactly.
So that's our WWE TLC pay-per-view pick-em really quick version.
That's it?
That's it.
Those are all the matches that are announced?
That's one. We went through one, two, three. We went through six matches and the pick of the pre-show match.
Wow.
We might get one. I don't think we might get... I think that's six solid matches. If you give stuff time, like the ladder match, you give that a half hour, you got some time. We're probably going to get an AJ segment on the show. It's a match we've
probably
been talking about. Yeah. You're probably going to get an AJ segment on the show, and I believe Randy Orton was supposed to have a match on the show. But because he's injured, they're going to probably have to find a replacement match. So maybe Alberto Del Rio gets a match.
Ooh, Alberto gets a pay-per-view match. And he jobs.
So there you have TLC. Send pics, media, wildtalkradio.com, kingkins at wildtalkradio.com, twitter.com/wildtalkradio, facebook.com/wildtalkradio network, or facebook.com/group/wildtalkradio network.
Yes. So, now we're going to move on, and we are, swear to God, we're going to close out the show now.
No, we're not.
Except,
we're not.
Well, give me a minute to get it out. God damn it, you're so impatient. We do this little segment called What's Bugging Us.
No. You're forgetting a segment.
What the fuck am I forgetting?
The question of the night.
I was going to do that after What's Bugging Us, but go ahead.
No, question night goes first, then it's What's Bugging Us.
I was trying to change it up.
Difficult.
Damn right.
Just like a woman, changing her mind on things.
Yes, I guess I need to be taken back to Christmas Town for my own good.
Yes. Yeah, because the rants are going to... yeah. I have rants.
Yes, he has firecrackers.
Yes, I have firecrackers. But let's go through the question tonight. The question tonight was, what should Lindsay do? for the next month besides work. Kinkins. She should try and find Hogan's dignity. Parentheses, Brooker Hogan, or Brooker Hawk, AJ Styles' ability to win, or wherever Crimson went.
Crimson is an OVW.
Yes. You can also see, he also says, should either solve world hunger or try and solve WWE booking. Because both options will take a Christmas miracle.
Well, if they would hire me, I will try.
Mace. Hi, Mace.
Hi, Mace.
Who apparently wants to do a show at some point. On a Friday.
Oh, he misses us.
He does. He really does. Tommy says, just chill. Here's the thing. That's the point. She's going to get bored really, 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 really quick.
Yeah. I've already pretty much chilled for, like, the past couple days. Because I had two finals on Monday, I had nothing on Tuesday, I had one on Wednesday, and I had nothing today. And as you can tell, I have a lot of energy. So I need stuff to do.
As she says, she's a ball of estrogen, and she's a spitfire, and she's full of energy and excitement. She's Lindsay.
I'm a spitfire?
I guess. It kind of works.
I have a temper.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. Anyway, back to the... I don't know where I'm going. It's 2 a.m. Anyway, Mace said, more shows for wildtalkradio.com.
F you, Mace.
Kate Gaines also said, learn to produce shows? Well, she has a better...
Kate Gaines, you're really funny.
She has a better computer than Tim Stein, so she's already a leg up.
You know, Omega, if you're going to make comments, you need to call in.
What was his comment?
I have things you can do, smiley face. No, Tommy. No. No, no. No. That's just bad. No. And, Kane Kittens, if you want to buy me an Xbox and WWE 13 so I can do that, that would be awesome.
Jed Schaefer goes, John Gray wouldn't mind a visitor.
Oh, no.
Enzo, as far as her month-long break, winter break, scrap some money together. Go to MAGFest, whatever that is, and convince Forcina to do the same. He apparently Enzo needs friends to hang with out there.
Or just, I would love to go to MAGFest, except, yeah, no money.
Or just visit Australia.
Dude, I would love to go to Australia.
But again, the whole money thing.
Mace, you need to win the lottery down there so we can all come.
So yeah, those are the suggestions.
Interesting. I will entertain
none
of them. That's interesting. At least I'm honest.
This is very true.
By the way, Kane Kitten's very jealous that you get to go to the Royal Rumble. Kidnap Kane for me. So on that note, now we do this little segment called What's Bugging Us, and I'm just going to step back and I'm going to let Rock go because he doesn't have pipe bombs, but he has firecrackers and he's set to blow. So, blow away.
Last night, I was going to have this rant about the stupidity of just products out there. I'm going to tie it all together anyhow. I'm going to paste a link to everybody in the chat room and give it to Lindsay as well. There's the chat room. And there's for Lindsay to look at. Now, what this link is that Pizza Hut has come up with their own perfume. That's what I was going to write. The chain is releasing limited edition scent which smells of freshly baked hand-tossed dough.
is because I want to smell like food.
There are some people out there probably who do. But I'm not going to rant about that. No, no, no. Today I decided. I had two, I think, maybe. I know I at least have one. I can't remember the second.
Something about wrestling downloads?
That's the one I remember. Okay. So I went to, I went to play WWE 13 today. Because I activated my Xbox Live Gold that I got on Black Friday for $10. Because I played my brother in NBA earlier. So, cruising around WWE 13 create modes, they have a story mode where, you know, wrestling fans can create stories. And for a lot of time, I enjoyed that because a lot of games, you know, you finish story mode, you know, there's not much else to do except several matches. And for years, they had some great, there's a lot of people out there that did great stories. So I downloaded a few. Just to have a look at it. And I download the ones with a lot of downloads. I don't download the ones with one or two because, you know, that's kind of pointless. Till more people see it, and it's going to be awesome. So I download this one. It's about ending the Undertaker streak. Which, okay, this is going to be good. You're going to have reason why the Undertaker is going to lose this WrestleMania streak, right? Figure it's a great scenario. What the scenario turned out to be is the reason he's going to lose is the way he's going to lose is I'm going to poop in his face. And the person saying it was John Laurinaitis.
I think my soul just died.
Now. Yeah. A little bit, right? So the match is John Laurinaitis versus The Undertaker, WrestleMania. So not only is he The Undertaker beating up, gets to beat up John Laurinaitis, and then do a whole bunch of, you know, spots where, you know, Taker comes back and yada yada. Then you have, to help John Laurinaitis, name one person you think they would bring in to help John Laurinaitis in this scenario.
Ryback?
I don't have Ryback, so no. Can't be Ryback.
Tensai?
Don't have Tensai either, but okay. Go. You're going with characters you would think people would use. Okay. Justin Roberts.
What the hell? Were they high when they made this?
Justin Roberts, the ring announcer. So it takes Justin Roberts, Johnny Ace, and two security guards to beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania to end the streak. That's all the scenario wants. It was shitty as fuck.
Yeah, sorry. That's a fail. That's a complete, utter abomination and fail.
Now there's this John Cena storyline where he's, you know, he's the face of WWE and stuff. Whatever. He's there's some sort of scenario. I can't remember the full scenario. But it starts off with a meeting conveniently like the one they have for AJ and Cena in real life, where they're sitting at a table, looked exactly like the one they showed on TV, in the game. So you can recreate that.
Because that's what we all want to do, is recreate that moment in this storyline.
So, but you have... No, Ken, you just don't have to download this stupid storylines fans make. These are what the fans make. So, you have John Cena and Stephanie McMahon, you know, sitting at a table, a romantic table. And Cena goes something along, I want to touch your tits. That's the basis of the storyline. And then he feuds with Triple H over making that comment. And, you know, Cena, you know, Triple H is called the Golden Boy and stuff. And, you know, it was the most ridiculous thing in the world.
For reals.
Yeah. These are for reals. These are what wrestling fans think are fun stories to create.
Oh, my God. I weep for humanity. I really do.
This is why they don't listen to us ever, because our logical scenarios get drowned out by that. So that's the rant I have. It's not more of a rant, it's more of a storytelling, you know.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the other thing I was going to rant about, but, you know, there you go. That's my what's bugging me, people. Lindsay!
The fact that they haven't given me my goddamn grades yet!
Hey, you got one.
Well, technically I have two, but they're not official.
They're not official, but at least you know.
Yeah, but there's...
Just, yeah.
Dude, they're due Tuesday, and the one teacher hasn't even graded everything yet.
Gonna do it on the weekend, maybe. I don't know. Probably.
She's gonna have to. She said she would have them done no later than tomorrow.
Maybe she's doing it on the night.
No, because I'm not getting emails.
Maybe that's her plan for tomorrow. I don't know.
All I know is I want them, and I want them now.
But you can't have them now.
God damn it.
You have to wait. You have to be patient.
I don't want to be patient. I want it now.
I know. But you gotta wait. It's only a few more days.
Although I do have a rant on holiday shoppers. Either learn how to drive or go the hell back home. Because if you people keep continuing to try to kill me on the roads, I'm going to start doing it back.
Uh-oh. No.
I have been almost hit by more moms in minivans in the past 5 days than I have ever, especially on the weekends. It's freaking ridiculous. It's like, do you all not know how to drive? I had to run over to Michael's to get something to turn in for my final project Monday, and I did it before work, so I run over there. I'm trying to drive through the parking lot, and the way that it's set up is there's like a Barnes & Noble, there's an Old Navy, and then there's a Toys R Us you have to drive past.
Right.
To get over to the Michael's parking lot. So I'm trying to cut through there to get over to it because I didn't want to drive by Target.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to drive through there, and a car pulls out in front of me, stops cockeyed, so they're blocking the lane. They make no attempt to even get over by the sidewalk. And then everybody, including an 80-year-old woman who moves slower than a snail, tries to get out. And I have to go into the other lane to get around them. It's just... think with your heads, people. Really, think with your heads. You know what? It's going to be there 5 minutes if it takes you an extra 5 to 10 minutes to find a parking space. Or 2 seconds to pull over or to get closer to the sidewalk to allow traffic to pass. Whatever you're going for is still going to be there. It's just... I hate this time of year. I love this time of year, but I hate going anywhere near malls or stores or anything like that because people just don't use their damn brains. They really don't.
So one thing Lindsay won't be doing is going to the mall during her vacation. Gotcha!
No, Lindsay will not be going to the mall during her vacation. Lindsay has no intention to go anywhere near the mall on her vacation. Unless I want a shopping spree or something, and then we'll talk.
You good now? But you feel better? Get off that.
I feel better. And also, I'm working nights next semester, so expect some interesting stories.
Yeah.
So yeah, are we good?
I'm good. You, this is your show. Just follow your lead.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Oh, yeah.
So on that note, Rock, tell us about all the other fine programming on this network.
Oh, I get to pimp now?
You get to pimp now. Chill, bitch. Chill.
Okay, I will. Just don't call me bitch.
No promises.
tomorrow night, I believe, is Johnny Cashmere's Wake Up Call, 9 p.m. Eastern. Don't ask me who the guest is. I have no idea. Check Johnny Cashmere out on Twitter, twitter.com/JohnnyCashmere. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's the final ever episode of CB Radio. Because supposedly the world's ending. But if not, we'll be back on every Saturday night, midnight-ish. If you missed last week's show, Subway gave us the way to survive a zombie apocalypse. What are we doing this Saturday? I have no idea. Check it out, CB Radio, it's weird, it's wacky, it's unusual. Coming up in the near future, we will be having the Christmas show, the holiday show, when we survive the end of the world on the 22nd. Everyone's invited to be a part of the show. Submit suggestions for the 12 days of WTR. Send them to facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Post them in the group. Post them on the Twitters at WildTalkRadio or media@WildTalkRadio.com. Sunday night is Wrestle Talk Radio at 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be recapping TLC and a whole bunch of other things. It's WTR Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Sino, the Omega, and because of this pay-per-view night, it's going to be me and Lindsay.
Woohoo!
Hopefully, Lindsay, if there's no homework boy.
Well, finals are over this week, so hopefully there is no homework boy.
Monday night is the Raw post show. We'll be talking about 3 hours of Monday Night Raw in about 45 minutes. Tuesday night's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. This is me trying to think of who he has on this week. And I can't remember. So check out Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday, it is just another goddamn wrestling show at 8:30 p.m. Eastern with Jim Schaefer, Brian Blight, Scott Barry, and the Cheap Wood Pedaling. Check it out. It's always a fun time. Ricky Morton's on the show. Okay, there you go. That's who's going to be on KFIT. And then we'll be back for another edition of The Rack next Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork, twitter.com/WildTalkRadio, WTRProductions.net. I don't know. That's it. That's all I got.
That's all you got?
That's all I got.
All right, well, you can follow me on Twitter at Lins Ward, LNSWIRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com, and, of course, go to CassidyRiley.net. Buy his merchandise, please. And also you can visit my DeviantArt, LinsWard.DeviantArt.com, and check all that out. And, of course, visit our fine sponsors, PWMania.com, for all your news, and Tweaked Audio for all your audio needs. They're awesome. Please go buy their stuff. And, of course, listen to all the other fine programming on this network. We all work very hard to make this as awesome as we possibly can, and we'd appreciate it if you guys gave it a listen. So,
Hold on. Before you close out, I would like to thank everyone who's listened this week for the shows I've hosted. I've sounded like complete ass. Hopefully I sounded like better. I sounded better tonight. I think I did, because that's not hurting my voice completely. Being sick sucks, but guess what? I was here. I hope you all enjoyed the shows we did. Thank you.
Yes. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward, and you've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Come back and listen to us next week. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.